La 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 la.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Ready, Set, Stream, Gilmore Girls.
Woohoo!
Edition. Thank you. We're very excited tonight.
Yes, I am excited. That's why I'm excited. You know why I'm excited?
Why are you excited?
Because we went international, baby.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay, do tell.
That's why I said woohoo, because we have at least one listener from Australia, down under.
I love Australia.
Yes, that's one of my favorites. I want to go
there. I love Australia.
I want to live there, actually.
Actually, I would love to live there, too.
So all you out there in Australia, good day.
Yep. Whoever you are that is listening, thank you for listening.
You want to know who I think it is? You. One of the Irwins.
Oh, my gosh. If it was one of the Irwins, I would die.
Not the belated Steve Irwin.
Oh, God rest his soul.
Yes. Maybe Terry or Robert or even Bendy. Possibly Bendy, even their baby Chandler, Grace.
or Chandler.
Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations to Bendy and yes. Chandler and their beautiful baby Grace. Baby. Oh, gorgeous baby.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, so. Me too. We grew up loving Steve Irwin. And
I like anything Australian, really. Crocodile and Dundee.
Me too. Yeah, they make really great men out there.
Yeah, I knew you were going to speak
like
on this.
Chris Hemsworth, Liam Hemsworth, Keith Urban. Who else? Russell Crowe.
Something to aspire to for
and Nicole
me.
Kidman. You know, you got to love them all.
Is that what attracted you to me?
What's that? That you love Australia?
No. Okay, that I might look similar to them, maybe. I was hoping.
You do actually kind of remind me of Russell Crowe.
I was hoping I resembled him a little bit.
Yes, I have told you this before.
Aren't you entertained?
Yeah, I am entertained. You're just trying to get me to flatter you now.
Yeah, well, I like a cheap plug every now and then.
I guess it worked.
A little boost
but
to the ego.
I guess you did not know, though, that we also have a listener from the Czech Republic.
Oh, I did not know that.
And
like Johnny Carson.
From so. Trinidad.
Wow.
And we've also added listeners from New York, New Jersey, California.
So we truly are international, but we're building a fan base at home.
We are indeed.
Wow.
So I'm very excited.
Everybody that's listening, preach.
Thank you so much. We yes. love to have you.
Speaking of listeners, I have a hostile streamer update.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Evidently, someone shared our little podcast with a couple of family members over the weekend, which I did not know about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is news to me, Tom.
I'm pointing it to you. You shared it.
Oh, me.
Yes. How soon we forget.
Oh, yeah. I did happen to tell two hostile streamers about our show, and I actually did share with someone I would not call a hostile streamer.
But they haven't watched yet.
They have never watched Gilmore Girls, but they're not indifferent.
Oh, so there's a possibility.
There is a possibility.
Oh, there is hope, people.
Yes, and she basically said anything that you and I would do, she would listen to. So we're,
okay.
You know,
we're making
where we're
progress.
Leading, she's going to follow.
Don't give way to hope is forsaken this land.
No. But
no Lord of the Rings there.
Maybe we will convince her to watch Gilmore Girls.
Hopefully so.
Yes, hopefully.
Well, I implore all you guys out there to rate, like, subscribe, share, comment, and where we lead, you can surely follow us at the links below. You want to mention those, love?
Actually, I do want to mention the links below.
Because I don't think some of them are getting it.
No, because other than Casey, we have yet to get an email. Even though we now have a few little listeners.
More than I expected.
So I know. So I do want to mention that our email address is readysetstreampodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
So keep that in mind.
Remember that, people.
Please
we want
write
some comments.
In. Yes.
What if you don't like us, if you love us.
Tell us what you like.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Tell us what you would like to see more of, what you'd see. Do a stop, start, continue. Which is something I learned in business.
Okay.
What can we start doing? What do we should we stop doing? And what should we continue? You doing?
Yes. If you like something, let us know. If you don't, let us know that too.
Okay. Have we beat that horse to death?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Giddy up.
All right. All right. We're going to let that one cool off and then take the saddle
off. This is wagon train a moving, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So this episode, we are looking at Gilmore Girls Season 1, Episode 7, which is titled Kiss and Tell.
Do tell.
I know, right?
All right. We're going to find out.
Yeah. We're going to get into this one. All right. So this one starts off with Lorelai and Rory walking through the town square. Near the gazebo. And I do actually believe that this may be our first look at the gazebo.
Well, it's hard to see it through all the jack-o'-lanterns laying around.
That's true. But I do believe that this is actually the first episode where they ever showed it on camera. But they're talking about how one of them has to do laundry tonight. And it is like the total mother-daughter discussion that would be had. I mean, you know, who's not had that conversation about who's going to do the laundry?
It's almost like she was jealous.
Yeah, I know. Lorelai mentioned that she hasn't had clean underwear in 3 days.
Oh, no.
And Rory says, so right now under your skirt you're wearing, and she trails off. And Lorelai says, not underwear.
Yeah, she's going commando there.
And she smirks. Yeah.
It's like Kramer. I'm out there, Jerry, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. I guess you'll get to know that we make a lot of Seinfeld references on this podcast.
That's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, me too. And she smirks, though, and she says, it's kind of nice, actually. It's breezy. And Lorelai says, my role model, ladies and gentlemen. And she says, well, how come you haven't run out yet? And Rory's like, well, I guess I have more underwear than you.
Well, you know, that's like dirty dishes to me. I'd rather just throw them out and buy a new set. I don't like washing dishes.
Right.
I do a lot of takeout, let me say that.
Yeah, which isn't good for us now. Yes, that I think about it.
Should but do better.
Lorelai says, that's not true. You have less. Have you been doing laundry without me? And Rory's like, no. Then Lorelai gives her like this look and she says, okay, one load, I've done. And Lorelai says, and you didn't even ask if I had stuff to throw in. Rory's like, it was a big load. Yeah. There wasn't enough room.
She's sorry.
You know, and
no
Lorelai's
square
like,
to spare.
I'm crushed. I'm bleeding. Give me a tourniquet. Oh no, they're dirty because Rory wouldn't wash them with her stuff.
Yeah.
So Rory promises to do a load that night. Lorelai says no. She'll do her own. But then she says, maybe I'll just buy new underwear. So there she is. She's like yeah, you.
That's right. That's yeah. what I was saying.
So I don't
be
know.
Be done with it.
I just thought this was a perfect example about how these two do not have a traditional household at all.
Oh no.
Not at all.
They're
so,
winging it.
You know, they pass by and after they've passed, you can see Miss Patty in the
my
background.
Girl, Miss Patty.
I love Miss Patty.
She's fluttering around.
Oh yeah, she's teaching a dance class and instructing them to flutter, flutter, flutter. And then she said, and leaves, where are my leaves? I've got pumpkins, I've got pilgrims, but I got no leaves. Miss Patty
has
awesome.
A flair for the dramatic there.
She does, especially when she's teaching her little group.
Yeah, her pupils.
So scene two, Rory and Lorelai are going into the diner. Luke immediately shows up near the door, followed by Taylor. But we don't know who Taylor is yet.
Oh, he's riding him like Seabiscuit.
Yeah, I know, but we don't know his name yet. But this is, we've been saying his name leading
who's
up
that grocery guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who owns
we've
it?
We've been saying his name to you guys up to this point, and he's finally here, and you do finally hear his name in this episode.
We'll get into him. He's yeah. one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Taylor.
And him and Kirk's dynamic.
I love Taylor.
Oh, God.
And this is what he does best, okay?
Yeah.
This is what you love him for. He's harassing Luke about decorating the diner because everyone else in town is decorating, and Luke's response is, hooray for the mob mentality.
Well, you know what he reminds me of?
Hey, which? Taylor or Luke?
Taylor.
What?
You know how you have the HOAs, the homeowners associations?
Yeah.
He reminds me of the SHOA, the Stars Hollow Owner Association. You know what I mean? And he's...
Yeah.
You have to decorate. You know, it reminds me of our neighbor, actually.
Yeah.
Should I say his name? Lawn Patrol.
Yeah.
That's what I call
him. We don't know his name. We just call him Lawn Patrol.
Yeah, because when we first moved in, our grass was a little high. It took us a while to get to it. And he was like, you better cut that grass or you'll have the city called on you. Lo and behold, years later, we did get the city called on us for something other than that. I wonder who could have done that.
Gee, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take after Luke. Just leave me alone. I won't bother you.
Don't bother me. Right.
Yeah. Be done with it.
Right.
So I'm kind of antisocial, too.
Yeah.
I don't really like the neighbors.
We kind of stick to ourselves. We're not big joiners.
No.
Like, if you have a neighborhood block party, y'all have fun.
Well, let me tell you this. Most friends in my life have let me down. Well, so I kind of guard against that.
Same here.
I'm there, always there for them, but when I need something,
yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. I've had some encounters with friends that weren't that positive, so Mark and I are just kind of, like, happy to be friends with each other. And
I guess I'm like Luke. My pod's defective.
Yeah.
I'm like the pod person that didn't make it from space.
You've taken away Luke's
thunder. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on.
Proceed.
So, yeah. Taylor says, we're talking a few streamers and paper turkey. How is it going to hurt to have a paper turkey? And Luke is like, no turkeys, no squash, no pumpkins, nothing colored orange. Taylor's like, okay, you don't like orange, but there are other autumn colors to toy with. I mean, this guy is relentless.
Yeah, I love how he calls him young man, too.
Yeah, he just won't give up. And Lorelai and Rory are like busting, and they ask for a coffee and a muffin.
Yeah, yoo-hoo, over here.
We'd like a coffee and a muffin, you know.
Do you hear us? You're oblivious.
Taylor goes on and on.
They're waving money at him.
Oh, yeah. Taylor goes on and on about how Luke's shop is right across the street from the Horn of Plenty. You're smack dab in the middle.
It's like the cornucopia in the Hunger Games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even want to ask what the Horn of Plenty
is. Let's not.
You're smack dab in the middle of everything. You have to do something. Luke says, I don't have to do anything but serve food. And at that point, Lorelai pipes up, and coffee. And Rory says, and muffins.
Got to have my coffee.
They're just going along with it, you know. And they're both, Taylor and Luke are both ignoring them.
Oh, yeah. They got their little rant going.
Yeah. Luke says his name and says he's tired of having this conversation every year. Meanwhile, Lorelai is calling his name in the background over and over. over. Taylor mentioned he has lived in Stars Hollow for a long time, you know, that Luke has, you know, but in later episodes, you know, we discover that he actually went to Stars Hollow High School there.
Yeah. That's,
so it's a little
there's
longer
more history
than
to that diner than it, that we'll find out
yeah,
about.
Yeah. It's a little bit longer yeah. than we first thought.
That's his personal domain. Though.
He had to have grown up there.
Yeah.
And it was long enough for his dad to have a hardware store. But Taylor says it's time you became one of us. Meaning that all
young
the
man,
he's,
yeah.
Yeah, meaning that all the way he's, you know, he's been there that long, he's not social.
I'm your elder, listen to me, yeah, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
So he's basically telling him, you've been here this long, you've grown up here, and you're not social. And Luke says, sorry, I guess my pod's defective.
Yeah, that was me.
So I just, I kind
of
like that little...
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Shout out.
Well,
there,
I know I've been
funny.
Defective for years, so I'm not a joiner. We're not going there.
At this point in the conversation, Rory calls out, hey, my mom's not wearing any underwear.
Yeah, she's desperate over there.
She's anything to get Luke's attention. That way they can be served, coffee and muffins.
The pod people also remind me of The Faculty. That was kind of a play
on
that.
Yeah,
that
was. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I love that movie.
That was a good movie. Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Who was later in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So that tied in, didn't it?
Yes. But Luke and Taylor both keep ignoring them, and Luke is totally focused on his conversation with Taylor. Lorelai is kind of like, huh, in protest, and Rory's like, well, you aren't. She's, you know, she's referring to the fact that she's not wearing underwear.
Yeah.
As soon
yeah.
as she says, hey, my mom's not wearing underwear, Lorelai's like, you know, like, how dare you give that away?
Now that...
And she's like, you're not, you know?
That reminds me, yeah, her face, but that reminds me of a story. We were at auto shop, and we were all outside. I was in high school, and we had this friend that was blind as a bat. He was legally blind, and he couldn't see 2 feet in front of his face, but he hollers out, hey, check out that babe over there. She's about 50 yards away walking across the crosswalk, and we all looked back to him and just started busting out laughing because we were like, how could he see that far away?
Right.
It's like, does he have radars?
I guess if there's a babe involved, he can see.
All that being said, men notice everything.
Yeah, apparently.
That was my point.
Even if they're legally blind.
We were awestruck.
So.
His abilities.
Taylor, meanwhile, of course, is still accusing Luke of being selfish. And finally, Lorelai says to Rory, still they don't notice. I can't take it anymore. And she gets up and goes behind the counter to get her own coffee and muffins. I just think that's funny because, you know, he doesn't let anybody behind his counter. Remember how in the last episode he yelled at Suki
yeah.
for going behind his counter and told Lorelai, next time you bring her in here, make sure she's on a leash. And Taylor's going on and on. About the spirit of fall, and Lorelai is telling Rory, what kind of muffin do you want? You know, because she's behind the counter at this point. She's poured coffee, you know, she's about to dive into the muffins, and Rory's like, blueberry. And even as Rory is
to butter
Lorelai,
or not to butter,
excuse me, is pouring the coffee, Luke is just continually seemingly oblivious. But he really isn't.
No.
Hold on.
I'm telling you right now.
He says to Taylor, do you know where you can stick the spirit of fall? And then he breaks away from Taylor, goes to Lorelai's side, gives her a set of tongs, and says, hey, don't use your hands here. And gives her the tongs. And then goes back to what he was doing and just keeps going and talking to Taylor.
He don't mind if she's back there, I guess.
Well, so that tells me two things. Yeah. Number one, he was aware of what they were saying all along, even yeah. while he was fighting with Taylor.
Suki was back there, he wouldn't have had it.
No, well, that's number one.
Yeah.
He doesn't let anybody back there, but it's okay for Lorelai to go back there.
Yeah.
And number two, he is having a fight with Taylor, but he is still 100% aware of exactly where Lorelai is and
yeah.
what she's doing.
Unlike Emily with her staff, she just assumed he knows what
but
they're doing.
I'm drawing a very particular
I get
correlation
that.
To the fact that he knows what Lorelai is
doing. He knows
doing.
What she's doing at all times.
So,
there's a vested interest there.
He keeps going on with Taylor, you know. He doesn't lecture Lorelai about being back there. Taylor says, I don't think you're taking me seriously. And Luke's like, what gave you that idea? And he looks up at Lorelai as she and Rory are leaving. He says, no tip? She says, yeah, oh yeah, here's a tip. Serve your customers.
And he had a tip for her too,
yeah.
didn't he?
And like, Luke's like, well, here's another tip. Don't sit on any cold benches.
Aha, there it is.
Yeah, there is proof. Right there, though, while arguing with Taylor in this heated debate, he was absolutely aware of what Rory said.
So, ladies out
that
there,
that she was not wearing any underwear.
Just remember this, men always know, and we're always watching you.
Right. Luke kind of rushes back over to Taylor, who's messing with his coat, and he says, Taylor, I swear to God, if you pull those pilgrims out of your pocket one
oh, yeah,
more
right.
time, then, of course, at that point, it kind of bleeds over to the opening music. This was our first interaction with Taylor.
That was fantastic.
Yes,
I love it. I love the open all the way up till that point.
Oh, I did too. It was great.
So hopefully it's going to get even better.
Oh, yeah. So then we have scene three, and Rory is getting off the bus and going into the grocery store, which we now can see has Dozy's name on the front of it.
The mystery's revealed. So
this is Taylor Dozy's grocery store.
And we also find out it's the Autumn Festival. And what are they doing? He's getting on to Dean about something.
Right. So this, of course, you find out is where Dean got a job all along.
Yeah. Well,
so,
we knew he was working there, but we didn't know for who.
Yes. I don't think we were speculating, was it always Dozy's Market?
Yes. Yeah.
So she immediately sees Taylor and Dean, and we can immediately see that Dean is now, in fact, wearing an apron that says Dozy's Market on it. So that removes all doubt.
Yes, there is no doubt.
She immediately sees them kind of having a conversation. Taylor is kind of talking to Dean about the cranberry display, and these are like cans of cranberries, right?
He's trying to make the Mayflower out of it.
He says it doesn't really look like the Mayflower. And I'm thinking to myself, are they trying to make
silhouette?
Are they trying to make the stack look like the Mayflower?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because they give up on that later, and Dean's like, just make it Plymouth Rock. Just mount them up.
Obviously, Taylor's very much into this festival. Dean suggests putting a sign on it as Rory starts to wander down an adjacent aisle so she doesn't look so obvious.
Yeah, she's going around the way. She's watching,
yeah. Taylor's hemming and hawing, and I don't know. So you know that he's a perfectionist, which is something you need to know about him immediately, because it becomes very important that you know that about Taylor and things progress. Well, he's
very controlling, too. So.
And Dean's like, well, so do you want to just go back to the Plymouth Rock idea? So Dean spots Rory hiding behind a shelf near the cornstarch as he's saying that. And Taylor's like, well, just live with it that way for a day, you know. So he's kind of giving up on the idea and just kind of like, okay. So Dean finally is able to break away. And he approaches Rory and he opens up with a line about being able to buy two of those for $3. And he asks if she had a sudden need for cornstarch.
It's like a blue light special.
Right, right. And Rory says that, you know, she has very important thickening needs. And they, you know, they just kind of exchange some small talk back and forth. They compliment each other's uniforms. And Rory says, well, I sewed the buttons on with silver threads. That kind of sets me apart from the crowd.
Yeah, like you can notice that at Chilton. Yeah.
Right. And he doesn't say much back except to smile and to nod. So Rory decides it's time for me to go, you know. So she starts to kind of leave, but he offers her a pop.
Yeah.
And then feels the need to defend himself that in Chicago they call it pop, you know, which I think it's funny. We've had this conversation before, but in different areas of the country, or I guess maybe even all across the world,
terminology
is different in various regions of what people call
soft drink,
you know. I've heard pop, I've heard soda, I've heard soft drink.
Coke.
Around here, no matter what you're getting a Coke.
Yeah.
So you can be going to get a Sprite, and you're going to get a
combo soda pop.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that.
So I don't know. It's kind of funny. Rory says that in Connecticut, we call it free soda.
Yeah. She trumped him on that.
Yeah. And remember, she's still holding on to the cornstarch, almost like it's a...
Yeah, it's a death grip.
It's like a security blanket to keep her
from... She's not letting that go.
Yeah, she's not wanting her nerves to get the best of her, so she's holding on to it like a security blanket.
Yeah.
So Dean takes her toward the back, picks something up out of the cooler, holds both hands behind his back, and says, all right, guess what's in each hand, and you get the soda.
Yeah, I think everybody's played that game once in their life, you know?
Rory says, well, the whole concept of free soda is that it's free. You don't have to work for it.
No, you gotta work for your supper here, girl.
And Dean says, sorry, you gotta sing for your supper.
Yeah.
And Rory says, or your soda.
Yeah.
But then she relents. She decides to play the game. So she's leaning forward and she's saying, in this hand you have. But at that very moment, Dean cuts her off by leaning down and giving her a kiss.
Wow.
So that just kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, that was quite unexpected, wasn't it?
Well, she leans back. She looks very surprised.
She's frazzled.
Yeah. But it frazzles her. She just says, thank you. And then she runs out where she's almost... She totally runs out of the supermarket. She almost gets hit by a car.
Yeah. Yeah, she pulled a Winona Ryder there.
Yeah. And when she's leaving, she's...
I didn't know what I had.
No, she's still carrying... she's still carrying the cornstarch.
Well, she didn't know.
So she basically accidentally shoplifted the cornstarch because she didn't even think about the fact she still had it in her hand. So there she goes.
Yeah, there you go, Rory, driving up prices. I don't condone shoplifting, but it was a simple mistake.
Again,
don't do it, Peter.
Yeah, don't do it.
It's not worth it.
No. So Rory is running through town with the cornstarch still in her hand, and she makes a beeline straight for Lane's house in the antique store. So her first words to Lane when she gets in there is, I got kissed and I shoplifted. And she holds up the cornstarch. And Lane's like, are you serious? Who kissed you? And she's like, Dean. She said, are you serious? You got the new guy? And Rory's like, it happened so fast. I was standing there. Dozy's Market, aisle 3.
She don't know what happened.
And Lane said, by the ant spray.
Yeah.
And when Rory says yes, she says, oh, that's a good aisle.
That's a good aisle.
And Rory asked her, well, what defines a good aisle? And Lane says, well, basically any aisle where you get kissed by the new kid is a good aisle. So I don't know.
This comes in later, which I like.
I thought this was such a cute scene. You know, when you're a teenager, you know, especially teenage girls. I don't know if guys do this, but as a teenage girl, you do dissect every tiny little piece of what happens when you're around your crush, have an encounter with your crush, or something happens. So
for guys,
I just thought it was so cute.
For guys, it's more like Grease. Oh, keep talking. You know, like bragging about, yeah, I got that girl. Yeah, you know.
But, yeah, well.
And a lot of times you don't, if you really like the girl, you don't want to talk that way, but you kind of go like along with it. But you don't really go into really big details. Gosh. When you somebody.
Some of the bad ones probably do.
Well, yeah, but if you really like them, no, you don't. When you tell the guys, no, I don't want to talk about this right now, they get it. They kind of let it go.
Do they?
Yeah, but they do razz you a little bit about it, you know?
So in any of the guys that say that, well, I couldn't help it, you know, I was just in front of all the guys, I had to say it, I don't think they should get a free pass then. They should be able to stand up for themselves and go, I don't want to talk about it.
Let's say the more respectable guys would, but to a point, I mean, you don't want to kiss and tell. That's all what right, you say.
So to all
I don't kiss and tell.
So to all you respectable guys out there, you guys are great. I love you. Yeah. All right. So Rory is suddenly like, I can't breathe. And oh my God, he kissed me. But what she doesn't realize is that while she's saying that, Mrs. Kim has come up behind her and asked to know who kissed you.
The warden sees
and
all.
And Lane, without even taking a pause or any or blinking, says, the Lord, Mama. And I just thought that was so funny.
Now, I don't think she really bought it, because I think that's one of her tales, because Miss Kim reads her like a book. You know.
Well,
this.
Okay. So you got to stop and think about, this is a very strict household.
Yeah.
And you can tell already that Mrs. Kim is very religious, and this is a very religious household. Lane was so quick on her feet to explain that away that it just was hysterical. But we will later discover that Mrs. Kim,
she didn't buy it.
Looks like she might have accepted it.
Oh, yeah.
But that answer was not
you
precisely
know why?
True.
Because she wants her to lead her on. See what else she can discover.
Right.
Like a good warden. But, you know, but she ain't too slick, because she still hadn't discovered that contraband, which we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Yeah. She definitely has some sharp eyes and sharp ears.
Yeah.
So Lane asks Rory to tell her everything, and Rory explains the very few details of what happened, because it really wasn't a whole lot. And
yeah.
Lane says, I'm so jealous. That's it. I've got to get some dumb, ugly friends.
So she needs a Duff.
So you're like talking that movie, yeah, the book, the Duff.
I love that.
That if you've not seen that movie, it is a hysterical movie. The movie is called The Duff.
Designated Ugly Fat Friends.
That is what it stands for. Yes. We don't condone calling somebody that, but it was actually based on a book.
It's just a catch-all. Don't blame me.
It was based on a book written by an author named Cody Keplinger, but with a K, both names. But she was only either 17, 18, 19, in that range when she wrote the book.
Yeah.
And it was her first book, and it was a big, huge hit. I read it. I loved it. They made it into a movie. I mean, way to go, Cody.
Extremely lucky. Wouldn't that be
yes.
nice?
Oh, yes, indeedy. But
I just want one, people.
Yeah, so do you think that's what she was kind of thinking, is that she needs to get a Duff?
Maybe she considers herself as one.
At first, I didn't understand what she meant by that at all. But then after you say the Duff, it's making you wonder if she's saying that she's Rory's Duff.
For
if
me.
She wants to kind of be like Rory, then she has to get her own Duff. So that way, guys are trying to kiss her in a grocery store, too.
I guess.
I don't know. Okay, so Rory, funny enough, says, I've got to go tell my mom. Okay, so I found that this was interesting, because she's been keeping Dean a secret up until now, even though her mom actually did see her on her birthday night in the last episode outside of the house with Dean when he gave her present, which was the bracelet that he'd made for her. And I've wondered why Lorelai hasn't brought this up to Rory of what she saw, you know, but clearly she hasn't.
Well, she had her opportunity at Cinnamon's Wake, or even at the diner to start with.
Well, both of them have had opportunities to bring it up.
But that wasn't the fact that she's said, it's the fact that she's hiding a relationship period from her.
Right.
Is what the deeper issue would be.
Right.
And all this could have been avoided, but we wouldn't have a show, so, you know, I understand.
Well, at least it appears right now that Rory's planning on telling her at this point. Maybe she didn't want to say anything before because she wasn't sure where this was going, if anywhere, but now that it has gone somewhere, she wants to share it with her mom. So,
well,
you know,
she's
we'll
just
see
making
how that
the
goes
situation
out.
Worse.
Yeah, but yeah. Lane says to call her later, which is such a girly thing between friends.
Well, Lane is like Rory Suki. In that sense.
Yeah.
Best and, friend, tells her everything, gives her good advice.
And Lane does, yeah. But suddenly Rory stops and says, I can't. And Lane says, you can't leave? And it's like, she says, it's sing your favorite hymn night at the Kim house. You'd better make a run for it.
You don't want to be there when that goes down.
No, I just thought that was so funny. But Rory mentioned that she's never told her mom about Dean. And Lane's like, so tell her. But Rory's like, the last time the subject of boys came up, it got really ugly. But, you know, now that I'm thinking back on it, it really didn't. The only reason why it was ugly at all was because Rory got a little snooty and elusive about not wanting to go to Chilton.
Yeah.
But then she got over it. And Lorelai,
immediately.
At the end of that very first episode, Lorelai was immediately like, so tell me about the guy.
And she refused.
And she was very excited.
Yeah.
But apparently, you just assumed when you saw that first episode, she must have told her about Dean.
Yeah, again, she
wouldn't. But I guess she didn't.
She wouldn't have held that against her. But, they moved on from that. What she will hold against her is the deception.
Apparently, Rory never answered that question.
Nah.
But it wasn't ugly at the end.
No.
It had all gotten
over. She just avoided it. Got around it, talking about it.
Is this Rory just coming up with another excuse for a reason not to tell her mom?
Yeah.
But even Lane points out, that was different. She thought you were going to quit school over a guy. So Lane is pointing out good points here.
Yeah.
And Rory says, yes, over Dean.
Yeah.
And Lane says, but she doesn't have to know it was him.
Yeah, she didn't even know his name.
Right. She did not know his name. So Lane is giving her good advice here.
But she does know him now as the guy sneaking around with her daughter behind her back.
Yeah. So
that's what she'd be upset about.
In about 5 minutes, Rory has rethought everything and is obviously not wanting her mom to associate Dean with Rory's attitude back then about not wanting to go to Chilton.
That's just,
you know,
a red
herring. Thinking her mom is going to get over it, no problem. But apparently Rory doesn't have that
faith.
It's
everything after the fact.
Okay. So Rory's response basically is, she'll know. She's Lorelai. She'll know. And I thought, okay, that's funny. She knows her mom. She's like Mrs. Kim in a different way. There's not much that she misses. But, I mean, if she doesn't know what she's missing, she'll know something's a little off.
Oh, she'll find out.
She'll figure it out eventually. Like that one episode, we kept thinking, gosh, is she ever going to realize something's wrong here? Uh-oh. Both of these people are upset. It seemed like she wasn't seeing anything.
Yeah,
but eventually,
like it was going over her head.
Eventually, she comes around and goes, okay, what's going on? You know what I mean?
And then it all clicks and she's like, oh, I gotta go.
Right.
Every time.
But I loved that statement. Like, Lorelai knows all. It's actually a testament, though, to how Lorelai may seem a bit scatterbrained at times, but she actually notices a lot.
So does Miss Kim.
Yeah, she does. But they just notice differently. But Rory's like, well, what do you think I should do? Lane tells her, well, maybe she'd be more open to the concept now that she's actually in school and she's doing well. And Rory says, well, maybe. And Lane encourages her, why don't you just give it a try? And then she asks, you know, how was it? And she says, well, it was great. And Rory tells her it was perfect.
Yeah, let's see how smooth this goes.
Okay, so the next thing that we see is we're at Lorelai's house, and she has herself laid out on her back on the floor with her upper body sticking into the fridge. She's on the phone and saying, yeah, can you hear that? And then she tells them that it's a high-pitched E sound, and it started kind of lower last week, and it only happened when they opened the door, but now it's higher and it's on all the time. And she says, so I think it's growing in confidence.
All the food's out, all over the floor.
So Rory walks in, and Lorelai is going on in this conversation that I think everyone has experienced at one time or another. And she's saying she's already told this to 3 other people, so please just tell me what's wrong with my fridge. She says, I'm not going to make that noise again. Then she pauses for a second, then she says, I'm not, and then pauses and goes, eee!
Yeah, I relate to this. You know, when our car started making a noise?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't figure out what it was. I was like, well, I'll just take it to the shop. I break down and go in, and I tell the mechanic what's wrong. I was like, well, it's making this sound, you know, eee, you know, whatever. And he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to test drive it and see if I can duplicate the sound. He drives
it. I hate that when
he comes back. Nope, couldn't find the sound. I get in the car to leave, and I'm not even out of the parking lot. And
then you hear the sound.
I mean, I could go right back, but why bother? Because as soon as you go back, he's gonna say, I can't hear the sound. I can't duplicate it.
And hey, dude, that is not just relegated to auto mechanics.
Yeah.
I have heard that in I don't know how many different arenas of customer service. I can't duplicate the problem.
And it's like a doctor.
So I can't fix it.
At least they're not, well, let's go in exploratory surgery because we can't figure out what's wrong with you.
Right,
they're
exactly.
They're just troubleshooting. Nobody wants to hear that. Exploratory surgery.
Yeah, no.
That's not a good scenario.
We're going to cut you open and just go exploring. Yeah. We're going to go like on a...
Well, that's like mechanics. They have to get in there sometimes and figure it out. They have diagnostics now, which is nice. But yeah, most of the time they're just guessing. We'll replace this. We'll replace that. About $10,000 later, you should just buy a new car.
Yeah, right.
Bite the bullet, people.
Since Lorelai's on the phone, Rory goes into her room, and Lorelai keeps on with her conversation, and she's like, I don't have a lot of pride, but I have enough to know that I do not want to make that noise again. So could you please just tell me what is wrong with the fridge or connect me with someone who can? And then there's like a pause, and she says, hello, Rusty. Great.
Rusty.
Then she launches into an explanation of the weird sound again. She starts to explain it's making a high-pitched sound, but then stops and says, you know what? Actually, is Jerry still there? Have him make the sound for you. He knows it. I'll wait.
Oh, yeah. God. This reminds me of your phone skills.
Oh, like, Lord.
I always try to get on the phone when we have an issue or problem, trying to rectify it. And I'm always very nice and cooperative and patient. And then it gets to a point where nice just doesn't cut it. So I'm like, I'm sorry. I tried. I'm going to hand you over to my wife now. Good luck. And I let you take over at that point, and you get with it, and you get things done.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll just say you have a way with people.
Yeah, I guess that is a talent of mine.
Yeah.
In certain quarters, anyway.
I love
it. I wish I could make that work in all aspects of my life.
So we kind of do a good cop, bad cop routine then.
Yeah, we do.
I tried to work with you. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm just going to have to...
It's too late now for you.
Have to turn you over to the bad guy now. So Lorelai comes back and says, I know it does sound bad. And she says, here's the deal. You will send someone out here tomorrow between the hours of 8 and 9 because I work and I can't wait for 4 hours for one of you guys to show up. Then she says, great. And she hangs up and Rory says, so are they coming tomorrow? Lorelai says, nope, Monday between 3 and 8. I'm completely useless.
Well, you know, maybe she should have put one of Emily's post-its on the door and said, you can give me a call when you get here. I'll be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You think that'd work? No. They just leave, wouldn't
it? It does kind of make you wonder, though, how Emily would handle a situation like
this. Well, she's got post-its, so it should be good.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's true. She does love her post-its. Yeah. So Rory apologizes, and Lorelai just goes on and on about how their place is a sty. She says now she's grabby and useless. She's kicking the fridge, saying, stupid, stupid fridge. Guys, I hate my life. So Rory keeps quiet as Lorelai leaves the room, and I think that at this point, Rory is just kind of rethinking the idea of telling her mom about Dean. Right now,
it's not a good time to because bring that subject up.
No, she's in a bad mood right now. Rory is already worried about how she'll tell her and how she's going to take it. So now is probably not the time.
Yeah, you got to pick your moments, your battles. You know,
as much as I'm kind of get irritated that Rory will not tell her mom things, it's no surprise to me really when she decides not to tell her right now.
I know.
Yeah, no. So then next thing we know, we flash over and Lorelai's going into Mrs. Kim's Antiques to pick up the rocking chair that she had bought some time ago.
No bueno.
And she goes up to Mrs. Kim and she says she's here to pick up the rocker that she bought a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you know, Miss Kim pops out like a terrifying Jack in the Box there.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out from behind the
well,
box.
The place is so stacked with stuff like all the way up to the ceiling that you can't see anybody coming.
Well, it scared me.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, God, it's Miss Kim.
Yeah. No. So, when she says that she bought it a couple weeks ago, Miss Kim, ever the precise one, says 6 weeks ago. Lorelai says, that's a couple weeks times three. That's six. Math humor. But Mrs. Kim is, like, not all about it.
I like her bluntness and directness, but she can be a little harsh at times.
But I love her. Yeah. I really love Mrs. Kim.
Yeah, we'll find out.
But she starts talking about how this is not a storage facility. People buy things and they take them, except when Lorelai Gilmore buys. Then furniture stays here for 6 weeks. Lorelai offers to pay her extra.
This isn't layaway or store and go, you know
what
I'm saying?
No, no. But Lorelai offers to pay her extra because she
left
it laying there for so long and
she
says that she wants her to pick up what she paid for in the first place.
Exactly.
Mrs. Kim definitely drives a hard bargain. She's very no-nonsense
here. That's what I was thinking.
She's the exact opposite of Lorelai.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nice.
When two worlds collide.
Yes. I like the contrasting characters here. It's very interesting. But Lorelai says, when she looks at it, I remember it smaller.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Kim says, it's been 6 weeks. Maybe it grew.
It grew up.
Yeah.
He's become a junior now.
Yeah. And Lorelai apologizes again, says she's been busy. And Mrs. Kim says, maybe she should be less busy. Then you can remember to pick up chairs. And Lorelai is humoring her, saying, right, absolutely, smell a rose. Stop and smell the roses. Got it.
Slow down.
So Mrs. Kim then follows that little statement up with, and then you can keep your daughter from running around kissing boys.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. And it's like, mic drop. Too bad Lorelai had to find out this way. I'm sure it was kind of galling to her to find out in this particular manner. And to have Miss Kim be the one to do it, it makes her feel like she's kind of getting a dressing down, you know? And especially when she follows that up with, Lane is a young, impressionable girl. She doesn't need to hear about your daughter's kissing.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me a little Back to the Future vibes. We know where Lorraine is telling Marty and the kids, you know, I'd never called a boy or part with a boy. And it's kind of like, she's very impressionable.
Sat in a parked car with a boy. Yeah.
This is very inappropriate, but...
Well, it's funny, if you circle back, Lane thought she'd fooled her mother with that explanation. When Rory said, you know, I got kissed, and Mrs. Kim says, who kissed you? And Lane said, the Lord, Mama, remember earlier? And she thought she'd fooled her mom because her mom let her think that, but apparently Mrs. Kim just acted like she was fooled, but clearly she was not. So Lorelai's response is, are the lids turned on the paint remover? Because you're sounding a little loopy to me.
Yeah, she's getting high on that
product. So after Mrs. Kim asks what loopy means, Lorelai just smiles and says that Rory isn't kissing anyone. And Mrs. Kim says, yes, she is. She came here and told Lane that she kissed a boy in the grocery store. Grocery store where we buy our food. And she's so sincere about it and so serious about it. At first, Lorelai's about to deny it. It's saying it makes no sense, but then she pauses and she says, she kissed a boy in the grocery store? Because I think now she's starting to make the connection that it's Dean.
Yeah.
She knows that Dean works in the grocery store.
Yeah, way to bury the lead there, Miss Kim. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Yeah.
She was kind of like Biff on Back to the Future 2, like
right.
Hitting her over the head with his cane. Hello, Lorelai.
Yeah, hello, Lorelai.
Hello, anybody home?
Yeah.
She kissed him.
But Lorelai says, you know, she's sorry she didn't know. And then she's kind of looking a little flabbergasted and a little kind of deflated. And she says she didn't tell me. And once again, you know, she sees that Rory has kept something from her. So she's kind of looking a little upset about it. Well, and it's not so much that Rory kissed a boy. It's more that Rory didn't tell her.
Exactly.
Again.
And that she's sneaking around with him.
Exactly.
She don't even know who it is, but she knows now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So then we pan out and we're outside. Rory and Lane are sitting in the town square at a table that's covered with pumpkins, and both of them are dressed up like pilgrims, so clearly they're both participating in the town festival, you know.
Yeah, they kind of look like the Scarlet Letter to me, but you know, Rory should have had a red K or D on her button, you know, for Kiss or Dean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. And Lane is evidently asking about what happens because Rory says she's told the story so many times, it doesn't get it dirty.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. But Lane says she's sorry, but she's obsessed. She makes the comment that she's totally living vicariously through Rory.
Yes.
And I thought,
well, there you go.
This so connects back to what I said earlier when I made this very same point when she first told Lane that she kissed him. And Rory's response is to ask why, because Lane got kissed last weekend herself.
Oh.
And Rory says, you told me, with a guy that your parents set you up with.
Oh, that was just a hit.
The one with the Lincoln Continental.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name? Patrick Cho? And Lane says, let's do a little compare and contrast here.
Yes.
And she's like, you got kissed on the mouth by a cute and sexy boy. And I got kissed on the forehead by a theology major in a members only jacket who truly believes that rock music leads to hard drugs.
Members only jacket. Yeah. I used to have one of those when I was young. So that's way out of date.
Well, pretty
for
much,
this time frame.
Pretty much everybody did.
That was in vogue when I was in high school. So this is years later.
And Rory's like, well, okay, fair enough. You can live through me. But just remember that I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yes.
And let me tell you, as things progress throughout this episode, I believe her.
And but things wouldn't progress. We'll see.
Lane tells her she knows, and that's why she's been gathering intel for her on Dean.
Yes.
And that, so she starts telling her all this stuff that she knows, that he's from Chicago, he likes Nick Drake and Liz Phair and the Sugar Plastic, and he's definitely allergic to walnuts. And Lane mentions that he had a girlfriend named Beth in Chicago. I mean, she even knew her name was Beth.
Yes.
And they went out for a year before he split with her, before he left to come here.
That's interesting. We're getting the dirt on Dean. We find out later that the Nick Drake comes into play. Rory leaves her CD out, but we'll get to that. But we also know how to kill Dean if we want to.
Walnuts. Yeah.
If he does Rory wrong, she definitely knows how to get him.
I think this speaks well of Dean. A year relationship for a young high school guy, that's pretty significant. I mean, this kind of says that he's a long-term kind of guy.
It's definitely for a high school student.
Yeah, he only broke up with that girl because he was moving away, and I guess he didn't want to hurt her with a long distance relationship.
Yeah, those never work.
Well, they don't work, but
especially when you're high school.
In high school, you're kind of robbing the other person of being able to experience.
Live your life. You're too young.
You can't experience things like dances and other social gatherings with other guys because you've got a significant other way across the universe.
Not
so,
that it doesn't happen, you know. But it's rare for like the 50s where you were high school sweethearts. You got married. You lived together for 50 years. Nowadays, you go to college. You see other people. You date. You break. You know, a lot of things go on. But yeah, since we're speaking of Dean here, getting the intel from Lane, let's talk about Jared Paladecki for
a
moment.
Let's do it.
Let's profile him a little bit. You know, I want to hit you right off the bat with a tie-in, because I like to tie him in to the Gilmore Girls. His middle name is Tristan. Now, we know that he has a little competitive
nature.
Yeah,
jealousy
and rivalry with Chad Michael Murray.
Of course, we don't know that yet,
but
we will.
We're getting there. But I just wanted to bring that out since we're talking about him. He was best known for Sam Winchester on Supernatural. He
won several awards for that role.
He was on Supernatural for a very long time. 13 years, yes. Seasons, I think. Oh my gosh.
And I started watching him as Cordell Walker in Walker, the new Texas Ranger reimagining.
Right.
And it's funny because he is a Texas native.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that about
he's
him.
Perfect for that role.
So he's not from Chicago.
Oh, no. Okay. No. You know,
he's a tall dude, too.
Yes, he is.
He is 6'5", isn't he?
He is 6'4".
6'4".
Okay. And I wanted to mention that, too, because Gilmore Girls definitely broke the trend in that, because most actors are short, you know, for casting purposes. But most of the men on this show are 6 foot or above.
Well, he's 6'4". Yeah. And I think that both Edward Herman, who plays Richard Gilmore,
they're in that range.
And Luke Scott Patterson are both 6'5".
And Rooney's 6'6".
Uh-huh.
And Chad's 6 foot.
Definitely nothing under 6 feet for most of the major characters. Most of,
yes, that's why I say they broke the mold there.
I think Logan, the guy that plays Logan later in later seasons, and the guy that plays Jess might be a little shorter.
They're more of the Tom Cruise-esque, you know?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit taller, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely not Sly or Tom, you know?
Right.
But yeah, as you know, I have an affinity towards the B-ish movies and the like.
Heaven help us.
But one of my guilty pleasures, as you know, is horror movies. So he has been in a couple of decent movies. The remake of Friday the 13th. He played Clay, the man looking for his missing sister.
Uh-huh.
I made you watch it.
Yes.
And House of Wax, where he played alongside Chad Michael Murray, which ties into the Tristan Dean Gilmore Girls rivalry.
Wow.
Yes. And that's about the same time period. There's a method to my madness here.
Now, if this comes around to where he's worked with Amy Sherman-Palladino before, I'm just going to die, because it seems like they all end up working for her again.
Well, no, not this time. But
okay.
He's actually a very sharp guy. He was a candidate for the Presidential Scholars Program, and he won the National Forensics League Championship in duo interpretation.
Wow.
He's quite the debater.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that about him.
Yes, I found that fascinating. And he actually married his co-star on Supernatural, Genevieve Cortese.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 3 children and live in Austin, Texas. And he owns the bar Stereotype. It's a 90s theme bar. He got into a little trouble last year, but we won't go there. And he struggles with depression. I don't know if you knew that.
No,
about
I did
him.
Not know that. No,
and he started a charitable campaign, Always Keep Fighting. And
that's wonderful.
Yes, and he sold over 100,000 shirts that supports people dealing with depression, addiction, self-injury, and suicide.
Oh, that
so
is wonderful.
He's paying it forward. He's doing his
That's great.
His part. Yeah, he's a very interesting man.
That is great. I didn't know all about all that about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it makes me look at him in a different light, but I will say he becomes one of my characters I like to pick on a little bit.
But we have to remember,
I'm watching this the second time around, though.
This is the character and not
the man.
Not the man that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's very interesting information.
I have a little more
him.
Respect for him on that.
Yeah. So we're back in the show here. Lane's intel revealing, you know, the Beth girl. She tells Rory that the Beth girl is now dating Dean's cousin.
Yeah.
And not sure what that says about the girl.
She just wanted a Dean
replacement.
It's like replacement.
She's trading out a Dean replacement. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Even Rory's face kind of crinkles up on that one. But Lane mentions that the cousin doesn't think they were in love, but if they were together a year, then that's kind of a long time in high school for either party, especially a guy to be in a relationship for a whole year and not have some serious emotions involved. When I was in high school, most guys were lucky to stick with one girl for a handful of dates tops. I mean, they like to shop around.
Yeah,
you know?
He had some definite feelings for her. He wouldn't have wasted his time.
No, absolutely.
Now, girls on the other hand, they're very emotional. They'll stick to one guy
if they can.
Well, we're not talking about that.
There are always some exceptions.
The Susies out there, you know, the S-Susies. You know what I'm saying? But, not that all are bad. You know, Kiss wrote a song about a Beth, and so don't hate on the Beths out there. But this one, is a little shady. And Gilmore Girls does not shy away from the tough topics. And that's what I kind of like about the show.
Yes. Right you are, Mark. I actually really like that about the show, too. They don't shy away from tough topics. They're not afraid to speak politically or, you know, make political references, even if they think that their demographic won't agree with it.
Yeah.
Or religious things.
This was
not the time of cancel
culture either. So.
Well, that's true.
But
then again, this show was re-released on Netflix during cancel culture. So,
to be honest, I think people get
love
tired
it.
Of it. But that's
Maybe.
Just my personal opinion.
But, you know, obviously, it's got a huge fan base of new people.
You know, we have something in America, or we did, that's called freedom of speech.
Yes.
People should look that up.
We're exercising it right now.
Yeah, we're just running our mouths, having a good time, and that's what the Gilmore Girls did. They had fun with it. And that's what everybody should do.
But
lighten up. Back in our day, people had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
We don't have, now everybody's butthurt about something.
Right. But I will say, maybe it says something about, you know, a majority of the country today that they re-released this recently, you know, in the last few years, and a whole new set of fans fell in love with it. So, you know, there are still people out there that are going to love it.
Free
no matter
your
what.
Mind, people, and the rest will follow.
Absolutely. So, back on topic here.
Yeah.
When asked, Lane admits that she got all this information from Dean's best friend, who is really cool.
Ooh.
Then she asks that, you know, once they get together, can she ask about Todd for her? So she wants Rory to ask Dean.
So she's got some ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Maybe she's calling Rory the duff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She wants Rory to kind of set her up. But then after all of that information, Rory says, Beth, I hate the name Beth. It's so Beth.
Yeah, don't be hating on Beth now.
Yeah, way to go, Rory. That's the best you could come up with. It's so Beth.
There's a little jealousy coming out, and she don't even know the girl.
She said the name. Well, she said the name Beth a couple of times throughout the entire conversation. Like, she just couldn't get over it, you know.
Yeah.
And now she's saying, "I hate the name Beth. It's so Beth."
It's almost like Dean was cheating on her with Beth already.
Right. But Lane keeps on going, and she said, Todd also said that Dean hasn't been able to stop talking about anything but you for weeks. Mm. So they both giggle. Rory kisses Lane on the forehead, which I kind of thought was a little odd, but okay.
Well, Todd was his wingman. He's helping Dean out there,
but Lane,
dropping the intel.
Yeah, but Lane says, stop it. You're giving me Patrick Cho flashbacks. You know, so the guy that had kissed her forehead.
Yeah.
So then we break over into Luke's diner.
Uh-oh.
Miss Patty is there talking to Luke. And she says, Luke, the food here is so lovely. But do you know what would make it even better?
Luke, I love this.
Luke looks kind of heavenward in frustration and says, let me guess. Some autumn festival decorations.
Yes.
And Patty responds with, food without ambiance isn't really food, is it? And I'm like, oh my God, he is never going to hear the end of this.
She don't say much, but when she does, she speaks volumes. I appreciate that.
But then the camera kind of pans over to where Lorelai is sitting at a table by herself, and she's staring out the window with this concerned and serious look on her face.
She's locked in.
And meanwhile, in the background, you can still hear Miss Patty talking to Luke. And she's saying, it's much too depressing in here for tea. To which Luke says, you realize Taylor's a head case, right?
Yeah, he's an absolute nutter.
And normally, Lorelai would be right up in this conversation. But at this moment, she just keeps staring out the window. She's missing it all. You know, she would have thrown her 2 cents in for sure, normally.
Oh, yeah. She loves the give
and take.
Finally,
it pans out the window where you can see what she's looking at. And she's watching Lane and Rory outside at that table.
That's a little jealousy, too.
Well,
she wants to be the ones that's being confided in.
I got the notion at the time, thinking to myself, she's telling Lane about that kiss
right now. That's supposed to be me right there.
She's telling Lane about the kiss right now.
Yeah.
You know, so Luke comes up to Lorelai and offers her coffee, and Lorelai just continues to stare. She doesn't say anything. And when does that ever happen?
Oh, no. Coffee's her lifeblood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she needs coffee more than life. More than air.
Luke busts out with, oh, come on. Are you mad at me too? And Lorelai jumps a little. You know, she's startled out of her stare, but at this point, Luke is just keeps going.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah, he says, a man can't choose whether or not he wants a picture of a fat, stupid bird on his wall. My God, that's the reason the pilgrims came here in the first place. So he's just off on a tirade. But Lorelai just responds that she wasn't snubbing him. She just didn't hear him. But now that she's concerned about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Luke says, sorry. He said, I'm just feeling a little persecuted today. And then he offers her coffee, you know. And of course, you don't have to ask Lorelai twice if she wants coffee. Luke asks her, you know, are you okay? As he's pouring her coffee.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, very precisely, yes, I'm fine. And I'm like, ooh, okay.
And I was like, no, you're not.
Right, yeah. And Luke looks at her and he says, you don't look fine.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, thank you. And Luke replies with, I just meant you look concerned.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, this was very telling on Luke's part, that he is so good at picking up on her moods, realizing something is wrong. It just goes to
show. He's very attentive to her.
Yes. It goes to show how much attention he pays to her various nuances.
Yes.
Her moods, you know, pretty much everything about her.
She does to him, but not to that level yet.
Right.
But he's there.
Yeah.
You know?
So she just kind of tells him, no, she's just preoccupied. But Luke insists that she looks concerned. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm like, she is concerned. And he's so observant to put his finger directly on the pulse of exactly what emotion that she's actually feeling. But still, she says, without really even looking at it, well, I'm not. He says, fine, you just look it. So she finally cuts it off by saying, hey, you know, some streamers would look so great in here. He says, okay, I'm done. And this is exactly what, that, of course, that's exactly why she said it.
Yeah.
Because she knows.
Get rid of him.
If she wants to get him to drop the subject, that is the way to get him to do it.
Yeah, because Rory's coming in and she's got
to
get rid of
him. So this shows to me how well she knows him, you know, because she knew this about him, that exactly what to say, and it would set him off. But at that point, Rory comes in. She sits down at the table. She apologizes for being late. You know, Lorelai immediately pretends that nothing is wrong, asks if she wants coffee, but Rory says that she'll just drink some of hers because she has to get back. And Lorelai says, you know, she thought that they were having lunch today. Rory's like, well, you know, we're a pilgrim short, so, you know, only have a couple of minutes.
I love the cat and mouse here.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
Lorelai begins to subtly probe, very subtly. And she's like, well, that's too bad. You've been really busy lately, and we haven't really had much time to talk.
She's fishing.
And,
her.
You know, here's where she's trying to get at the problem, you know, is talking and learning about things that she feels she should know about, you know. And Rory asks, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? And Lorelai tilts her head in a kind of playful way and smiles, and she says, I don't know anything. And she's got this cutesy grin on her face. You know, she's trying to get Rory to fess up to herself. Yeah. You know, she doesn't want
to... She's trying to finesse her.
Yeah, she's trying to finesse her. Yeah. And she's inviting Rory to tell her about the kiss, trying to make it a comfortable atmosphere.
She stresses kiss,
but
kiss, kiss.
In what is becoming true Rory fashion, she talks about anything else, something else, an article about the polar ice caps melting. And Lorelai responds with, yeah, yeah, big deal. So Rory says, fine, you pick the subject.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, okay, great. So she starts telling about a story about General Hospital soap opera and how the person that replaced Lucky on the show, you know, you just couldn't wait to see them kiss.
Yeah.
And she puts emphasis on the word kiss. And Rory's response is just, when does she have time to watch General Hospital? And Lorelai suggests that they get back to the point here. What do you think about the whole Liz Lucky kissing thing? Again, she's emphasizing the word kissing.
Yeah, I did.
And then
I
she pauses and says,
I wasn't surprised if she didn't say, you want to listen to some kiss music later?
Yeah.
Everything was kiss.
But the only thing
Like, get a clue, Rory.
Yeah, well, the only thing Rory says back to her
Hello?
Is they're being paid to play a part.
Yeah.
You know, so she's just not getting it. Or if she is, she's just not worried about it at all.
She's brushing it off.
And Lorelai's kind of getting a little impatient and starts to say, Rory. But Rory says, I got to get back now. And they are unable to finish their conversation.
Yeah, right when she was getting to it.
Just when she was just
How
about
to... How many hints can you drop somebody?
I don't know.
Like, hello?
But she was just about to say, all right, Rory, let's cut the crap here. Yeah. You know, but she wouldn't let her finish. Well, at that point, after Rory has left, Luke comes over and says,
I love this.
Not going to say you look concerned. Rather sarcastically, Lorelai responds with, not going to talk about how good you'd look dressed like one of the guys from The Crucible. And I thought, wow, this is funny. Because, you know, earlier you had made a comment about the Scarlet Letter.
It ties in.
It does tie in. You know, this is all about the pilgrims. And you were talking about the Scarlet Letter written by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
The L and D.
And here, Lorelai has brought up The Crucible by Arthur Miller. They're both written about the same basic time frame, give or take, although they have two completely different storyline focuses.
Well, Rory's hiding something. And Lorelai wants him to sick her.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, Winona Ryder, I mentioned earlier about shoplifting, she plays in that film, The Crucible.
She was
So there's another tie-in.
Yeah, she played opposite Daniel Day-Lewis in The Crucible.
I love that movie.
I loved his rendition of that character.
Yes.
He played John Proctor in the movie, and oh my gosh, it was good. Anything he's in, he plays, he does a fantastic job. Who can forget The Last of the Mohicans?
And in The Scarlet Letter, I love him. He played in Harry Potter.
Gary Oldman. And he was in The Fifth Element. He's been in all kinds of movies. But fantastic actor.
Yes.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. But then Winona Ryder was in that
movie
too.
Oh my God. I totally forgot that. She was. She was in both. And I mentioned her about the shoplifting.
Yes.
Wow, she's more tied in than anything. In
yeah, she is. She's definitely tied in.
Now you're blowing my mind.
I know, right?
Wow. It can be done.
I live but to blow your mind.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on, shall we?
Yes, we will definitely move on from that. All right, so now in the next scene, we have Lorelai walking down the street, and she decides to take a trip into the grocery store, and she's clearly in there to scope out Dean.
Oh, she's doing some PI work.
The music is even different.
Bump, bump, bump.
Yeah, it's that kind
it's,
of...
It's a sneaky music.
It's Gilmore Girls' rendition of Mission Impossible music. Yeah. Bum-ba-dum-ba. It's their version.
Bum-ba-bum.
Yeah. But, She's poking her head in the door. She's looking around, very Snoop-like, you know. She spots Dean, and she just kind of watches him. You know, she's acting like she's shopping. She goes over to the end of an aisle, and she picks something up and holds it in her hand, is turning it in her hand, but she's not really looking at it. And Luke comes up behind her and scares her to death.
He scares him, you know what, out of her.
Yes.
I think she met Jesus on that one.
She actually startles out loud, you know.
Yeah.
And she asks, what are you doing here? And he asks her the same thing. And she says, I asked you first. And Luke says he ran out of cream. And she says, well, yeah, me too. And I'm like, yeah, so funny. Because the way she said it, it was so obviously just an excuse. He asks, what are you staring at? And she says, nothing. Don't look. And he asks her, what is wrong with you today? And she finally pulls him aside. She grabs onto his lapels of his vest and pulls him down the aisle. They're standing very close together. And she finally confides in him where she hasn't anyone else. She's not told a single other soul what's really going on, and she's worried about Rory because Rory got kissed. And she's just grabbed onto his lapels.
I think Luke liked that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he kind of reached.
Well, his hands are kind of out. He wanted, kind of heading toward her
hips.
He just
wanted to take her right there.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
Like an embrace.
I kind of wish he would.
Yeah, he wanted to give her own grocery store kiss. I think, you know, there would have been more kissing going on if he would have just took action, I think.
You know.
Be more decisive, Luke.
She says, Rory got her first kiss, and that kid did it. And Luke's like, ah, the new kid. Lorelai's like, yep. And Luke at first is smiling a little, but Lorelai's squinting at it, Dean, and saying, oh, look at him. Look how smug he is. I just thought that was so funny.
Well, you know, it reminds me of how parents are snooping on their kids.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the time that our daughter and one of her boyfriends, I use that term loosely, we went to pick her up, and I was just like, ooh, I just want to go over and lay my hands on him, but I'm not going to anoint her healing. And you had to, like, hold me back. It was the grace of God that day.
Yeah, I was like, Mark, just stay in the car, just stay in the car.
Ooh.
And I had another plan.
Yeah, you were like, just let me handle this.
I said, let me handle it.
Yeah.
And I handle it. I'm not going to say how, because I don't want the person in question to know how I handle it.
Yeah, never give away trade secrets.
Yeah, you don't give away your mom trade secrets.
Yeah,
you
know? Don't do that.
But
it did work.
Yeah, and I really had to do surprisingly little.
It only took a couple weeks.
Took
it?
2 weeks, yeah. And it was over with, and that bad guy was out of her life.
Yeah, I was less stressed.
So. And he was a bad guy. And
she
admits he was a bad guy.
I would have been in prison.
And she was really, really young at that time.
Let me tell you, you just don't do that in front of the disrespect to do that in front of the parents. Just the nerve of this character.
Right. But this scene, it did kind of remind me of that too, because the two of them, Luke's like the surrogate dad and always has been, and Lorelai's confiding in him. They're perfect together. And
yeah.
I remember doing this very thing with you. And this reminded me of us, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And it just kind of makes me think again, I want to knock their heads together and say, you guys belong to each other, you know?
Yeah.
Go for it. But Luke says he's bagging groceries. He says it's hard to look smug when you're bagging groceries. And Lorelai says, look how he just handled those lemons.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, what are you talking about? Lorelai's like, he threw them in the bag. Not tossed them, not placed them, but threw them like they meant nothing to him. So I'm just thinking to myself, that she's thinking, that's how he's going to do my daughter.
Use her.
You know,
and
throw
and
her,
toss
away.
Her away.
Toss her, you know? And Luke says, they're lemons. And then finally, Lorelai actually admits it and says, they're symbolic.
Boom, there it is.
Yes, mic drop, there we go. Luke says, okay, we need to get you out of here.
No, that's so you. We need to move you to a safe location.
Yeah.
And calm down.
Yes, unless it's me, because I can get that way too, and you have to calm me down.
Yeah, got to calm me down.
Yeah, so Lorelai says, no, that Lothario over there has wormed his way into my daughter's heart and mouth, and for that, he must die. And Luke's like, that's it, let's go. She says, no. And he says, you're not going to kill the bag boy. She's like, why not? He says, it's double coupon day. You bring the town down. Yeah. I'm just dying here.
Sometimes you got to use a crazy logical reason to get you out of the situation.
Yes. So at that point, he kind of bum rushes her out of the door.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really nothing else he can do. And he says, what are you thinking spying on that kid like that? And she says, I don't know. I just wanted to see him. I've seen him already, but that was before he was, and Luke's like, Rory's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And Lori's like, shush you.
Yeah.
And he says, she's growing up. And Lorelai says, I know. And Luke's like, there's nothing you can do about it. And Lorelai says, okay, Mr. Reality, break into somebody else's house.
Yeah.
And they start walking down the street together. And Lorelai's kind of wondering aloud why Rory didn't tell her. And Luke's like, maybe she didn't know you'd take it so well. Yeah. Yeah, points there on Luke, touche. And Lorelai's like, do you want to hear something crazy? And he says, because all the talk up until now has been so normal. Right, and Lorelai says, he kind of looks like Christopher.
Now, she's projecting her concerns about Dean, saying he looks like Christopher. Like, he's going to maybe, she's going to make the same mistakes. Dean's going to end up running her life, possibly getting her pregnant. She's equating that with Christopher.
She may be thinking that.
Yeah, it's wrapped around
Luke
that.
Luke does clarify, you're talking about Rory's dad, and Lorelai's like, the hair, the build, something about the eyes. He just reminds me of Christopher. Really? I don't see it.
No,
and when
no.
when you meet Christopher,
no.
you know he doesn't look a thing like Dean.
No.
The hair is not similar.
I was expecting.
The eyes are not similar.
A man's man when I met Christopher, but
the build is not similar.
No disrespect, Christopher.
All the things that she said are similar to Christopher, none of them are.
You're no Dean.
I think what she, the only true part of that statement was, he reminds me of Christopher.
Yeah.
And I think it harkens right back
exactly
to what
she
just said.
Yeah. Because, like, Luke is going to have to play a psychologist here. It's
Luke says, that's not too surprising.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, you're going to quote Freud to me?
Yeah.
She says, I'll push you in front of a moving car. This talk was going so well.
Luke's like, and how does that make you feel? Yeah. You know, he does a lot of that.
No, but Luke says, you and Rory are a lot alike. It's not surprising you'd have similar tastes.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, why though? Why didn't she tell me? We tell each other everything. And he says, this is different. Lorelai says, we tell each other everything else. It's because it's a guy thing. Luke is like, probably. And Lorelai's like, well, that's not good. I have to make her understand I'm okay with the guy thing. Because not talking about guys in our personal lives, that's me and my mom. That's not me and Rory. And Luke's like, are you okay with the guy thing?
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Yeah. So how does that make you feel? And Lorelai kind of looks around with her eyes in a suspicious way and says, yes. And Luke is clearly skeptical. And she catches that and she says, okay-ish. And he's like, that's not okay.
Go deeper.
That's not okay.
Deeper, Lorelai.
And Lorelai says, she thinks I'll disapprove, right?
Yeah.
And Luke holds out his hand and opens his mouth like he's going to respond, but Lorelai keeps going.
Oh, yeah. She's doing a little self-soothing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she's saying, well, she's kind of did the same thing when she talked to Suki before.
And Luke's just there to witness
it. And she just has to work things out in her head and talk them out.
He's just an observer at this point.
Yeah, she reaches this point in the conversation where she doesn't need the person she's talking to anymore. She starts to talk it out herself. And she says, I'm going to think it's great.
Yeah.
She said, once she sees it, I think that this is great. Everything will be back to normal between us, right? Right. Okay, good.
I think it will.
Luke's like, so you passed the need for an actual person to talk to several minutes ago.
Yeah, she's still doing, like I said.
And Lorelai responds with, oh yeah, before the gelato stand. And Luke says, you're an amazing woman. And playfully says back to him, thank you for noticing. But here's the thing is, I don't think he was actually being sarcastic there. I think he really meant that because he wasn't laughing. He wasn't smiling. He didn't say it sarcastically or anything like that.
No.
He really, truly just walks off saying, you're an amazing woman.
I think you can say things on a deeper level when you're joking around that you normally don't say when you're serious. Mm-hmm. So that was his way of saying that, his true feelings.
Yeah, I think you might have a point there.
I've done it.
Right. So we're back at the house at this point. Lorelai's on the couch. She's very fidgety. She's obviously waiting on Rory to get home so she can handle this situation. She's roaming around the house. She goes over to the window. She sees Rory's coming.
I can't.
You know, and she dives back on the couch and quickly picks up a magazine.
You know what this is like?
What?
She set her bait, the Chinese food. She's casting her line, telling Rory to go get it. And then she's setting the hook when she gets up on her. Go ahead, tell it.
So Rory comes in. She apologizes for being late. Lorelai's very chipper and forgiving, tells her Chinese food's in the kitchen. So Rory goes to get a drink from the fridge, and Lorelai pops up over her shoulder.
Bam.
And she's staring into
the
fridge.
The hook.
Yeah. And she says, so, kissed any good boys lately?
Yeah, and she blocks her way of escape. She puts her arm out.
And Rory, the look on her face, it's like, oh God, she knows. And all she does is say, who? You know, like who told you?
You gotta fess up now.
And Lorelai tells her, Mrs. Kim, to which Rory responds, of course. And Lorelai says, so, he's cute. Can he spell?
Yeah.
And Rory says, he can spell and read. And Rory asks, how long has she known? And Lorelai tells her, since this morning. And Rory has this totally, I'm busted.
Now
look
it's dawning
on her
the
face.
Whole kiss.
Yeah, it's dawning on her.
Kiss.
And Lorelai says, you didn't really think you could keep it a secret. She said, you were making out in the market. And Rory denies that they were making out. It was just a kiss. It was a small kiss. Yeah. By the time it gets to Mrs. Patty's, it's a scene from 9.5 weeks.
Miss Patty, and we'll find out later, but Bette, they're a duo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tell a Patty, tell a Babette, telegram. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What was that? Your, that story?
It was a girl named America.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, telephone, telegraph, tell her. Yeah.
That was fun. That just reminded me of that off the top of my head.
And I do have to say, she actually gave away the fact that you had bought me an engagement ring.
Yeah.
And
that was, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You had gone into the shop where she worked.
And I made her promise and swear
that she
not
would,
say anything because I want to plan out my proposal.
Well, dude, I think that as soon as you, I don't even think the door Let was the store. Completely shut yet. She was on the phone to me telling me that you had just purchased an engagement ring.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that because I think, you know, I understand they're excited for you, but it took all of the excitement away from me because now you're the soon-to-be engaged person who knows that your man has an engagement ring. And you're sitting around waiting going, oh, is this the moment? Is this the moment? Is this the moment? And you're waiting for it to happen and it doesn't happen when you think it will.
Yeah.
And it just kind of ruins it for you to where finally you can't take it and you bust out and go, look, I know you have an engagement
ring. Yeah, that's what happened.
And that's what happened.
And our,
so it ruins it for both of us.
And our pastor was like, yeah, well, that's her. Telephone, telegram,
But it kind of, it ruins it for me because I didn't get the proposal that I might have gotten. And it ruined it for you.
Yeah, there's some more about ruined proposals in this show, which there are some things in the background that you don't know about that could be going into play here. So just calm down.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You might get your fantasy
So Rory's stuck back on how long Lorelai's known. You know, she's still back there. And she says, you've known all this time. At Luke's, here? Lorelai's like, yeah. Rory tells her she could have said something. And she seems a bit accusing at Lorelai. So I'm not at all surprised when Lorelai says, funny, I was going to say the same thing to you. And Rory's like, no lecture about kissing a boy? And she seems sheepish, but also a bit surprised that Rory's not, that Lorelai's not going on and on about, you know, the kiss. And Lorelai says, no, why did you do it wrong? I thought that was so funny. She's doing her best to be so nonchalant about this kiss. Rory's like, no, she doesn't think so. And Lorelai admits she doesn't love how she found out, but that Rory's getting older and these things are bound to happen occasionally.
She wanted her to run up to her like a friend and be like all excited about, I'm going to tell you everything, you know, and she lost out on that. That's what I'm thinking.
Right, but Lorelai has been doing so well up to this point about being cool about this, but then she goes a bit overboard by saying, actually, I think it's great, with this look on her face that's just a bit too big.
Yeah.
It's like a Joker grin.
Yeah, it's too telling.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's too telling.
And Rory can sense it and knows it, and she says, no, you don't. And Lorelai's like, yes, I do. I'm thrilled. And she's still got this Joker grin on her face. And Rory still doesn't buy it, of course, and she says, thrilled. And Lorelai's like, yeah. And Rory's like, you're completely weirded out by this, aren't you? Lorelai says, no, you're crazy. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah.
And Rory says, she seems the opposite of fine, but as much as I jest about the Joker grin, I do have to say Lorelai does seem to be sincere.
Well, nobody's that happy.
Yeah.
It, you know?
Maybe Rory just knows her a little too well.
She's over the top.
Yeah.
With it.
But Lorelai responds with, you're projecting that on me because you don't want to think that I'm fine when I am, as I have said, fine.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, she's got a point there. You know, Lorelai actually is beginning to look like she's starting to get a bit irritated.
Yeah.
Because Rory is not buying that she's fine.
Let's move on.
Trying to be fine. Rory finally just says, okay, and Lorelai says, never been finer. So Rory offers her food. She says, no, I'm fine.
When has Lorelai turned down food?
I'm thinking the same thing. She keeps saying fine.
Now, them girls
so that
can
hopefully,
eat.
Yeah, right. But I think she keeps saying fine so that if she says it enough, she'll actually be fine.
Yeah, let's believe it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Say it till you believe it there.
So in the next scene, Rory and Lorelai are heading into the grocery store to stock up on movie watching food.
Here we go.
And Lorelai is saying no toothpaste stops, just the essentials.
Yeah,
and
sugar.
Rory's already looking a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because she has to go into the market where Dean will be with her mom.
Yeah, that's
you know?
The main thing.
And she comes to a stop and Lorelai looks at her knowingly and says, Rory. And she says, you know what? I think we have enough stuff at home to eat. And Lorelai's like, really? All skeptical. She says, because the home I left this morning had nothing.
Yeah, she's like the Coneheads. We must consume mass quantities.
Yeah, yeah. And Rory's like, we're ordering a pizza. That's enough. But when is that ever enough for them?
don't you think it would be wonderful if it was like Defending Your Life, that movie where you could just eat whatever and as much as you wanted?
Oh my gosh,
without
yes.
any repercussions.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what made me think of this. Yeah, let's get all the food in.
Yeah. So Lorelai says, are you crazy? She says, you can't watch Willy Wonka without a massive amounts of junk food. It's not right. I won't allow it. We're going in.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but can I just say, I really wish I had the metabolism of these two people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And the anti-diabetic ability that they have to have.
Me especially on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sugar is my worst enemy.
Mine too.
I love it.
Really. But Lorelai says, Rory, it's fine.
It's like a frenemy.
She said, I'm going to meet him eventually. And Rory's like, okay, how about next year?
No, it's like a band-aid. Just rip it off.
And, yeah, exactly. Rory's like, I'm going to be so cool in there. You will mistake me for Shaft. And I thought that was a funny shout
yeah,
out.
Yeah, baby.
And Rory's like, there will be no interrogation. And Lorelai says, I swear. And Rory's like, no kissing noises, no stories from my childhood, no referring to Chicago as Chi-Town, no James Dean jokes, no father with a shotgun stares, no Nancy Walker impressions. And Lorelai says, oh, come on.
And no naked baby pictures.
Yeah. But I thought that Nancy Walker reference was interesting. You know, she played Rhoda. She was in Columbo.
She's in a movie
bunch of other things.
I don't know if anybody's ever seen this, but Murder by Death, you turned me on to that.
Oh, that's hysterical.
She was
that
like
is a hysterical
the
movie.
Maid that couldn't hear, couldn't speak.
Yeah,
I loved
don't say
it.
Anything more.
Yeah,
though,
I don't want to spoil it. But go watch that. It's definitely worth a look.
Yeah, and it's got an all-star cast.
Yeah.
It's got
Peter
like
Fogg.
Peter Fogg.
Yeah, I love it. Love him.
David Niven, Maggie Smith.
Oh, it's a long list.
Oh, yeah, tons of people.
It's like the movie Clue, too. I
yes.
like that one.
Oh, it's very much
yeah,
like Clue.
I love that one.
So if you like Clue, you'd like this.
All those old movies are great.
So Rory's like, promise me. Lorelai says, I promise. They walk in and Rory says, I don't see him. And then when Lorelai mentions that he might be on a break, Rory sounds so relieved. Oh, good, we can start shopping. And they start packing a bunch of food into this
reckless
carrier,
abandon. Yeah.
And all of the food is stuff that's like horrible for you.
Oh, yeah. It's the chocolate
and
factory thing.
Even Rory says that she's amazed that they still function. And at that point, they come around the corner and they can see Dean bagging groceries. And Rory points him out. Lorelai says, he is tall. And she says, that must have been some backbender, that kiss. Make sure you warm up next time.
Yeah, she's trying out for Olympic gymnastics team. Yeah.
And Rory's like, okay, we are leaving now. And Lorelai just smiles and says, sorry, she's done now. She remarks that he has great eyes. So as they're checking out, the lady
she's trying to be the girlfriend.
Yeah,
and,
you know, she's trying to be nice.
She's trying to get it there.
She's smiling. She's being having fun with it. But the lady ringing them up asks if they're having another movie night. So obviously this is
it's a tradition.
Very general occurrence that happens a lot. And Lorelai says, yes, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory night.
It reminds me of the days when you actually went out to rent movies. I mean, that's what they were doing.
That is what they were doing.
And you would go to Blockbusters, pick out your movie, get your candies, come home.
But the checkout lady asks, is that the one with Gene Hackman?
Which could never
be confused with the real one.
Gene Wilder.
But Dean corrects her and says, no, it's the one with Gene Wilder. And Lorelai kind of looks a little surprised and asks Dean if he's a Wonka fan. And Dean says, yes. Yeah. So Rory takes the opportunity
to introduce... It's Grumbly-umptious.
Yes. Rory takes the opportunity to introduce them.
Yeah.
Lorelai is very sweet to him.
Yeah.
When the sales lady gives the total, Lorelai says, oh, wow, it's expensive to slowly rot your insides,
this is my
isn't
favorite.
It?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a lot to say about rotting the insides, don't you?
Yeah, enjoying it to my detriment.
Yeah. So Rory and Dean exchange a nice goodbye. Lorelai says it was nice meeting him. And when he walks off, she tells Rory that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But then calls her a supermarket slut.
In passing.
In passing.
Ribbing
and,
a little bit.
And Rory says, see, even a little information in your hands is dangerous.
Yeah.
But once they leave, Lorelai...
Well, she's the talk of the town.
Well, yeah.
So everybody's staying that behind her back.
Right.
But anyways.
So once they leave, Lorelai says that she needs coffee. And Rory mentions the video store is closing soon. So they decide that they're going to split up and meet over at Luke's.
I think that I need coffee comment from Lorelai was a metaphor. She really wants Luke.
Yeah.
She has a need to see Luke.
To tell him
what
happened up to this point.
At least once a day. Because she goes there several times.
Every day.
And several times.
Yeah.
So it's like her, not just coffee fix, but her Luke fix.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking too deep there.
So maybe when she goes in and says coffee, coffee, coffee,
Luke,
what
Luke,
she
Luke.
Really means, or at the very least, a mixture, coffee, coffee, Luke.
Yeah. Give me, I need.
Yeah. But so Rory leaves, but before Lorelai does, I mean, she starts to walk away, but Dean comes out of the grocery store and telling her that she forgot her red vines.
Well, this is kind of on Dean then.
Yeah.
What happens from
and
here on out.
And she tells him, he saved the night. And as he's walking off, she stops him and she asks him, you know, what are you doing tonight? And he says, I don't know. And she invites him to come to their house to watch Willy Wonka. And she says, you know, the neighborhood's got a pool going to see who falls into a sugar coma first. I'm the favorite, but it might be fun. And he kind of looks over his shoulder.
Yeah, making a contest out of it.
Yeah. He kind of looks over his shoulder like he's looking for Rory and responds at first like he's kind of concerned.
He wanted to get her approval on this,
Like, he likes Lorelai, but kind of makes it look like he's a little worried that it might bother Rory if she doesn't know about it, and he just kind of shows up.
Yeah.
Which I think is nice of him. It's considerate. Shows concern.
Yeah.
He's considering her feelings.
He didn't want to make her uncomfortable because he already knows that she's stated that she's a little out of her element. She wants to go slow, and he's respecting that.
But Lorelai must sense what he's thinking and feeling because she says it's totally casual, and she's sure Rory would love it.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tread lightly here. Okay, I'm going to say this. At first, it reminded me of the Goldbergs' mom, mixing in, being a bit of a smother, meddling where she shouldn't. But on second consideration, if she didn't do this, it wouldn't have went anywhere soon, because Rory needed that little push.
Well, and we're going to get into that a little bit more later, but I do see if anybody's thinking that she shouldn't have stuck her nose in, I get that perspective, but I also have another one, and we're gonna kind of go into that a little bit later on.
I know you relate to this because you're the cool mom and the daughter and you have that tight relationship, but just for an outside observer, that was my first impression. Like, right. Oh, mom, don't do this. Rory's not ready for this yet. And I think Rory protests too much, but yeah, let's go ahead.
Right. Well, so she's about to give him their address, but of course he already knows it.
Because he's been there and she knows he knows
right.
it. And she let him pass on. I thought that was good of her because she's like, of course you do.
So he goes back inside and then she meets up with Rory and they start walking down the street again and they're talking and just chit-chatting and she says, oh, by the way, yay, I invited your friend Dean over tonight.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, what? And Lorelai just keeps going on. She's looking so happy and pleased with herself, saying that she told him what they were doing tonight. He was into it.
Yeah.
And she said, she asked, you know, why are you looking at me like that? And she says, you invited Dean to our house? Why are you mad?
Well, her reaction is a little over the top. She has a right to be upset a little bit, but she gets over the top here.
She does a little.
Yeah.
She says, because we haven't even been on a date by ourselves yet. And now is the first one is going to be with my mother. And Lorelai is surprised. And like, I thought you would be happy about this. And Rory says, in what universe would I be happy? This isn't Amish country. Girls and boys usually date alone.
Here's where she's getting off the rails.
Lorelai says she didn't think of it as a date, but just a hanging out session.
Yeah.
And Rory says, I don't want my first hanging out session to be with my mother either.
Now, that was out of line because they had been closer than a mother-daughter.
Exactly.
Up to this point.
So here's where things start to get a little
dicey.
Bit too much.
Yeah.
Lorelai says, stop saying mother like that. And Rory's like what? And Lorelai responds, like there's supposed to be another word after it. And Rory said, I can't believe you did this. I'm so humiliated. And Lorelai says, you're totally overreacting. Yeah. I invited him to a movie and pizza, not to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, not to your honeymoon.
And, right. No. And Rory tells her, he's the boy that I like.
Yeah.
Lorelai is, I know. I looked for one that you hated, but it was really short notice.
In other words, I'm trying to do you a solid here.
Yeah.
Just go with it.
And Rory's like, now he's forced to come over and sit with me and my mother and eat crap and watch a movie. Lorelai is, I just invited a friend of yours to hang out. What's the big deal? What if Lane had done it?
Yeah.
And Rory says, you're not Lane. You're my mother.
Now, that was uncalled for.
You're inviting him over is like grandma inviting the guy you like over.
This right here was totally uncalled for.
That was a totally unfair statement.
She is nothing like her grandmother to Rory.
Rory knows that, and she's just trying to win the argument.
They don't have that
close.
Yeah, she wanted to shut her up, but they have no closeness like her and Rory do.
So Lorelai responds back, you're comparing me to my mother?
Oh.
And she looks hurt. And Rory starts back to backtrack at that point. And she looks a little uncomfortable then, and she says, no, I just... But Lorelai says, I'm Emily Gilmore now.
Yeah. Oh.
She says, my, how the mighty have fallen. And Rory's like, I didn't mean that.
Oh, I've been there. I regretted it immediately. That is a no-go zone.
What?
Comparing you to someone.
Yeah, you don't want to make comparisons.
Yeah, definitely if it's Emily type mother.
At this point, all smiles are gone, and Lorelai is just, I wasn't trying to humiliate you. And Rory was like, I know. Lorelai said, if I was Emily Gilmore, I'd be trying to humiliate you.
Yeah.
And Rory starts to say, I just... and she just can't get it out, anything else out. And Lorelai says, I'm sorry, okay? I screwed up. I was trying to, you know, and Lorelai stops and she says, you know, she's just starting to get upset and uncomfortable now. And she just says, I'll go in and uninvite him. Yeah. And she said, I'll tell him it's
canceled. That would be even worse if she did that.
She said, I'll tell him it's canceled on account of I just found out my mother and I have to go to intensive therapy right now.
Yeah. I've had people compare me to somebody I loathe.
Yeah.
And that just eats you up. So and one way to sideways.
Rory says, no, you can't uninvite him. He'll think I totally wigged out or something. And I'm like, you did. You know? And Lorelai says, well, then I'm just
calling it like I see it.
Yeah. And Lorelai says, well, then I'll just disappear and you guys can be alone. And Rory's like, oh, and have it look like my mom arranged a date for me? No.
Well, sadly, that's what had to happen because Rory shouldn't have went and acted on anything.
No.
Even if Dean acted, she would have ran for the hills.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But then they talk about, you know, what's to be done. And Rory finally is like, well, he has to come now. And Lorelai tries to reassure that it won't be so bad. Just pizza, a movie, hanging out. It won't feel like your mother is there.
Yeah, Rory, just loosen up and go with it.
Rory finally calms down. Lorelai finishes with, you know, you might, however, feel like my mother is there.
And, well, it's not an official date.
No.
You know, until someone asks someone out.
That's true.
And they make plans.
So, honestly, to me, Rory deserved that after what she said to her mother, comparing her to Emily, which she knew would hurt Lorelai. So, I don't know. I've got more to say on this a little bit later. So, now we move off. We're at home, and we're in Rory's bedroom. She's got clothes laid on her bed. Lorelai comes in. And she said, hey, this is good. Add some old cold cream and some curlers and let him know what he'll be coming home to every night. Yeah. And I'm just like, give
this is your life. This is your future.
And Rory says,
enjoy.
Rory says, this was supposed to be a simple night. Watch movie, eat junk, go to bed feeling sick, end of story. Now I'm supposed to look pretty and girly, which is completely impossible because I'm gross and I have nothing to wear. And Lorelai's like, do you want some help? And at first Rory says, no. But then sheepishly she looks up and agrees and says, yes. And Lorelai starts looking through her stuff. She finally picks out a couple of things and holds them up. And she's all right. She says, this says, hello, I'm hip and cute, but also relaxed. Since this is something I just threw on, even though I it looks fantastic on
me. Yeah.
And Rory said, how did you do that? She said, I've been staring at that top for 20 minutes and it was just a top. You walked in and in 3 seconds it's an outfit. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai says, it comes from years of experiencing fashion brain freeze like the one you just had.
Yeah, she's a young doe frozen up, you know.
And Rory's like, how do you do it? This whole guy thing. She said, I've watched you when you talk to a man. You have a comeback for everything. You make him laugh. You know, you make him smile and then you do your little hair flip thing. And Lorelai says, oh, it's a twirl. It's a hair twirl. Yeah,
if you master the hair whip, you're in, girls. You're solid. That's how I got hooked.
Thank you.
Well, the same.
And Rory says, and then you walk away, and he just stands there amazed, like he can't believe what just happened. And Lorelai says, well, that's because I just stole his wallet. And Rory's like, you know, she's completely ignoring Lorelai's joke. Glib. She's dead serious. She says, I'll never be able to do that. She said, trig, I can do. But boys and dating, forget it. I'm a total spaz. And so
she called that right.
Yeah.
Because so that's what I said. Went back to, none of this would have progressed without her mother's prodding.
To me, this actually gets to the heart of why Rory wigged out on her mother inviting Dean. I honestly don't think it had anything to do with the fact that Lorelai invited him. It's that by inviting him, it put Rory in a position where she has to face her fears and kind of get out of her comfort zone.
Yeah, it's deeper because she always runs from her problems.
Inviting him was harmless.
Yeah.
After all, she says her mom is her best friend. So there should be no difference between her mom asking him to come and Lane asking him to come, which she seemed fine with. And a lot of daughters, I've got to say, would be squealing for joy if their moms invited their crush to have a movie night at their house. But I think what it all boils down to is Rory just hates it because she's a scaredy cat.
Yeah, she's scared. She's scared.
And she admits here when she tells her mom she has no idea how to behave.
Yeah, you gotta face your
like
problems.
Like Lorelai can with a man, you know? So
That's the root issue.
I think that's the root of the problem.
Yeah, please help. She said, please help me, mom.
Yeah.
You know?
So Lorelai says, listen, the talking part, you just get used to.
Yeah.
The hair twirl, I can teach you. And the leaving him amazed part, with your brain and killer blue eyes, I'm not worried. You'll do just fine. Just give yourself a little time to get there.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, is a half hour good enough?
The first step's meant you got a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next step's ask for help.
So now they are in the living room with a table full of junk food. Lorelai and Rory are sitting on the couch. Rory's wondering where he is.
Lorelai had told him. Look on her face.
Yeah, Lorelai does.
I hope he shows up. Yeah. He better not ditch her.
Yeah. Because Lorelai had told him 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
She gets up because she
has an inkling of what's going on here.
She looks out the side window first. She does have an inkling. Yeah. Why would she look out the side window?
Well, she knows Babette's lurking around.
And she sees Dean outside in the next door neighbor's yard talking with Babette and Maury. Oh, yeah.
She's already got him.
And it becomes very clear. She goes out immediately to rescue
they
him.
They cornered him and they were getting the lowdown. Who is this Dean guy? We're going to find out all about him.
Lorelai goes outside. You know, they're asking Dean if he likes jazz. You know, Lorelai manages to give him an excuse to go inside.
Patty would have been proud.
Yeah. So she manages to get him into the house while she stays to talk to Babette. Babette is saying, you know, he's got that Chuck Heston chin.
Yeah, and I remember
he is Roy's boyfriend, but Lorelai says they're just friends.
I love Charlton Heston, Moses, Ben-Hur, Planet of the Apes, but what stuck out to me was his little cameo in Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Come on, I know it's a bit part. We can do better, guys.
Yeah, and then that was great.
And he was like, I had a girl. You know, his voice. Anyways.
Yeah. There once was a girl I knew that lived on Boylston Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's 5 blocks down.
Yeah. So Babette says, well, that's not what I heard, kissing at the market. You know, gives a whole new meaning to tasting day. And I just think, yeah, okay, this is an important point for you guys to remember as we progress through the seasons, because Babette is one of the main town gossips alongside Miss Patty.
Oh, her and Miss Patty. And they're shameless.
You're going to see more of that in upcoming episodes, but there is nothing that happens in this town that those two don't know about.
They're the opposite of womanizing. They're manizing.
But Lorelai sidesteps that. She gets to go inside.
Oh, she felt dirty because she said, I got to go take a shower now. You know, that's
Babette said, Babette says, have a good evening. Yeah. And don't forget to invite us to the wedding.
That was a little shade at Babette there.
And she says, oh, and won't their kids be gorgeous?
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, oh, God, I hope not.
A little too soon, Babette. Pump the brakes there.
We're back in the living room at this point, and Dean is apologizing for Rory for being late, but that he actually did get there a half an hour ago.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the amount of time.
She had him sequestered for 30 minutes.
Well, and that is the exact amount of time that he's late. So
he was interrogated that long.
He was there on time. Yeah. And Rory believes him. She says, you know, no, I believe you. And since Lorelai's walking in at that exact moment, she pipes up to say that they'd have believed him if he had said he'd been here for 3 hours.
Yeah. She would have had him in the house with a spotlight on him.
So they go on to break the ice, and Lorelai is asking him, you know, how he likes Stars Hollow, and he likes this, and he likes that, and he loves the trees. And Lorelai's like, yeah, the trees are something. When Rory was little, she found one that was called a weeping willow, and she spent hours trying to cheer it up, you know, like telling it jokes. And she looks over at Rory at that point, and Rory's got this intense look on her face, and she's shaking her head at Lorelai. So Lorelai stops, and she says, no, that was me, I'm sorry. And then there's silence. And so she offers to give a house to her.
Oh, yeah.
And Dean says, well, sure. And she's like, okay, well, this is the living room. And there's the kitchen. Up there's the bedroom.
No.
And she doesn't take him anywhere. She just points, you know.
She sees that naked baby picture.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Yeah. So she points him off to the kitchen, and he starts to go in there. And as Dean is passing by, she gets that naked baby picture and puts it face down.
Frantically, she's like, oh, no, I missed this.
And she asks
him. Her butt's there.
She asked him, have you ever heard a fridge yodel before? So evidently the fridge is still making noises.
And Rory does say, thank you. Yeah. When she puts the picture.
And Lorelai says,
could you imagine seeing that?
Lorelai whispers, you're welcome.
Oh, nice baby picture.
Yes, I can imagine
that. Embarrassing.
Because that was kind of me in the picture that my mom and sister took of me.
She even had
in a
head,
very compromising
position.
It was
even like a seductive. She had her head turned backwards like, hey, yeah, it's my butt.
But honestly, this is kind of Lorelai being a buffer for her, which I think she needed.
Oh, she desperately needed that.
She needed it.
It wouldn't have went anywhere anytime soon,
so,
like I said.
They're all in the kitchen, but then the doorbell rings, so Lorelai goes to get the pizza.
Oh, God.
And she's like, that's my mom, to Dean, you know. Dean says she's got energy.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, yeah, well, she's 90% water and 10% caffeine.
It's in her veins. I know that much.
So Dean asks to see her room, and she lets him in, but she stands at the door. And
she's observing.
He picks up on that discomfort and asks if she's coming in. And she's like, I've seen it. And he says, it looks like she's glued at the door there.
Yeah.
And she says, no, she's just looking at her room from a new perspective because she hardly ever stands there, and it's making her rethink her throw pillows.
Well, he does pick up the Drake CD she was listening to.
Yes.
He comments on it.
Well,
that was left out strategically, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But I kind of appreciate Dean being so observant.
Oh, yeah.
And asking her if she'd like him to get out of her room.
Yeah.
But she says it's fine, you know, if you want to look. But I don't know. He just kind of showed some nice consideration there.
And he unlike other guys, he was actually interested in
what he's finding.
Checking it out, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't an invitation to let's go in and make out on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a, can I take a look at things? And he does. He starts picking things up and looking at them, you know. So, flash to the front door. And Lorelai is talking to Suki at the front door, explaining, no, we don't need dessert. Because apparently Suki has brought over dessert. Because apparently Suki has discovered, about, you know, the whole secret about
look at him.
Yeah, so Suki's asking...
Miss Patty's got the word out.
...where Rory is, and Lorelai's telling her they don't need dessert, and she says everybody needs dessert. And Lorelai tells her that she needs to go now.
Yeah.
Even though Suki is asking for a peek at Dean, but Lorelai's like, no, you've got to go. And then at that moment, the pizza guy arrives. Pizza dude. She's trying to usher Suki out, but Suki takes the pizza from the pizza guy, and Lorelai
says... Leaves the dessert in her hand.
Lorelai says, Suki, she's already freaked out. I invited him here in the first place. If she thinks I'm parading him around in front of all my friends, she'll kill me.
Yeah.
And Suki continues to try and argue, and Lorelai says...
You know?
Lorelai finally says, death, bloody and slow, okay? So she gets Suki out just in time before Rory and Dean arrive.
With the pizza.
But Rory asks, where's the pizza?
Yeah.
And
she's looking at the Lorelai dessert box with pain look on her face.
The pizza's, and just at that moment, Suki pokes her head back in the door holding the pizza. And she doesn't just give it to Lorelai.
Conveniently.
She comes inside.
Yeah, just make yourself at
home. Yeah, she's just bringing in the pizza and introducing herself as Lorelai's friend,
you
know?
This is one time she started rubbing me wrong a little bit.
Yeah, let's
And Dean says, you know, he introduces himself and says that he's Dean, and Suki says, hi, nice to meet you, Dean. I mean, not that I knew you were Dean, but you do look like a Dean. Doesn't he look like a Dean?
Oh, trying to play it off. Gosh. Yeah, she puts her foot in her mouth. She could have met Dean at the grocery store later if she wanted to meet Dean.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And Lorelai's doing her best to play all of this off, and she says,
that's why it rubbed me wrong.
It's funny, though. Yeah, of all the people in this room, he looks most like a Dean.
Yeah.
Bye, Suki. Have fun. You know,
good luck with that. Off you go now.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye now.
So they finally get rid of Suki, and Dean graciously carries the pizza into the living room while Lorelai whispers to Rory, I had no idea that Suki was here.
Rory was PO'd about that.
And Rory whispers, why didn't you just set up a camera and broadcast it over the internet?
Miss Patty can do that for you.
And Lorelai whispers, because I didn't think that big.
Yeah. She can set that up with Patty and Babette later.
Oh, yeah. They have that all done. So later on, they're all seated on the floor. They're eating popcorn. When Lorelai asks, you know, who needs more, Dean's amazed at how much they can eat. You know, he remarks on it. And then the Oompa Loompas come on the screen, and Lorelai goes nuts. And Rory tells Dean, my mom has a thing for Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, she fantasizes about them sometimes.
And Lori says, I don't think finding them amusing constitutes a thing. And Rory says, no, but having a recurring dream about marrying one does. And Lorelai's like, don't even get me started on your Prince Charming crush, okay?
Are they purple all over?
At least
what's under them overalls?
She says, at least my obsessions are alive. You have a thing for a cartoon.
Yeah.
And Dean's like, Prince Charming reference. And asks about it. And Rory says, it was a long time ago. And it's the Sleeping Beauty one.
Yeah.
Not the one
real
from Cinderella.
Prince Charming. The one that can dance. Right?
And Dean says, because he can dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, it's because he has sisters. And Lorelai wants to know some of his embarrassing secrets.
Yeah.
So Rory starts to tease him about the theme from Ice Castles, making him cry, which he denies.
This is his little deception, because he's like, I don't have any. Everybody's got some.
Lorelai says, oh, I've got one. At the end of The Way We Were, you wanted Robert Redford to dump his wife and kid for Barbara Streisand. And then he says he's never seen The Way We Were. Both Lorelai and Rory whip their heads around. They are flabbergasted. Lorelai is touting, it's heartache, laughter, communism, so he'll have to try it. And so at that point, she gets up to go get more popcorn out of the kitchen. And Dean asks, when does the visitor get to pick the movie?
Now, okay.
Okay, hold on now.
Yeah.
And Rory says, well, that depends what movie you're thinking of. And Dean says, I don't know, Boogie Nights maybe? Rory says, you'll never get that past Lorelai. And Dean says, not a Marky Mark fan, huh? And Rory said, she had a bad reaction to Magnolia. She sat there screaming for 3 hours, I want my life back. And then we got kicked out of the theater. It was actually a pretty entertaining day.
Yeah, now you know, this is very inappropriate. I don't know if he's kidding around.
Well, he says, I guess I'll have to come up with a different movie then. I think, yeah, you will. My teenage daughter wouldn't be able to get Boogie Nights past me.
The nerve to suggest Boogie Nights for a movie night?
No.
It's very highly inappropriate. I mean, and then he says you're not a big Marky Mark fan. You know, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg. You told me that he even hated doing that role.
I read an article where he said that he, in retrospect, you know, as an older guy, now looking back, he regretted having made that movie.
Yeah, he's embarrassed by it.
A little bit.
I love his other work.
Oh, I do too. Actually did watch that movie once. And if I only watch it once...
It's just inappropriate.
My teenage daughter would not have been able to get that movie past me. I'm surprised that Lorelai even took her to see it. There have been some movies that I've taken my kids to see when they were little or younger, and we ended up walking out.
Yeah, you definitely want your life back after that screening.
you know?
I don't want to watch Boogie Nights, and I'm an adult.
Yeah.
So I'd never let my teenage child watch it under my supervision, or even without my supervision.
I can't speak to that because my mom let me see horror movies. I guess this is where I get it when I was very young.
Yeah.
Jaws and Exorcist and films like that.
Yeah,
so.
But this was
You won't even play those in our house because of the bad feels you get from it.
Full-on raunchy movie, though. Yeah. No. I mean, you can't help if your kid sneaks to watch something, but I definitely would not allow them to watch it.
Agreed.
So at that point, Lorelai actually starts to return from the living room with the popcorn, but she sees Rory and Dean sitting side by side and goes back into the kitchen and sits down and starts reading a magazine.
Yeah, she gives them a little space.
Yeah, she thinks they look kind of intimate.
My job's done here.
Yeah. So after some time, Rory tries to get more comfortable and Dean places a pillow behind her back.
Uh-oh.
And I really liked Dean in this moment because he was so considerate and showed a side of himself that, like, he knew how to care about somebody else.
Yeah, there was no ill intentions there.
No, not at all. I just thought it was very thoughtful. She stares back at him and then turns away when he looks over at her. So you can tell that she is still nervous.
There possibly could have been a kiss building that.
Yeah, but she wouldn't let it happen. So she actually tells him she'll be right back and she goes to the kitchen. Runs for help. Yes. So despite all of her previous protests about, oh my God, I can't believe that you invited him.
She actually
likes the fact that Lorelai's there as a buffer.
That's exactly. She needs her a buffer. Come back in there.
She goes in. She's kind of demanding when she asks.
Oh yeah.
What is Lorelai doing in here? And Lorelai says, trying to find the best bathing suit for my bust size. And Rory tells her to get back there.
Them Cosmo magazines, I tell you.
And she says he's sitting in there perfect and he smells really good and he looks amazing and I am stupid. I said, thank you. And Lorelai questions this and Rory clarifies and said that she said thank you when he kissed her. And Lorelai's like he kissed you again? What is he, just breaking out of, just out of prison or something?
That's one of mine.
Lorelai's... And Rory's like, no, not now, yesterday at the store. Lorelai's
I didn't know the details of that.
All right.
Would have been nice to know that.
She says, strike the prison comment. He kissed you and you said thank you? And Rory said yes. And Lorelai says, well, that was very polite.
Bless your little heart.
Yeah, and I just thought, oh my God, that's so funny. Rory says, no, it was stupid. And I don't know what I'm doing here. You're sitting in the kitchen. What kind of chaperone are you? And Lorelai says, me? I'm not trying to be a chaperone. I'm trying to be a girlfriend. And Rory says, well, switch gears because I'm freaking out here.
She wanted to pull the mom card then.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point of this whole episode. She's trying to be her friend and mother, but don't cross out one for the other.
Right. And Lorelai says, you really like him, don't you? And she says, yeah. And Lorelai says, well, okay then. Just calm down. And Rory's like, I just don't know what to do or say anything else that's going to be remotely moronic. And I love this line. Lorelai says, I'm afraid once your heart is involved, it all comes out in moron. Yeah,
that's the true statement ever
said
on that show.
Yes, it is a very true statement. So Rory says, let's go back then. And Lorelai's like, okay, let's go. But Rory wants them to go back in shifts so that way it's not obvious, you know. So Lorelai goes back in first and she sits down with Dean and she gives it a second and then she pauses the TV and turns to Dean.
You know it's about to get real when that TV gets paused.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta have that talk.
And Lorelai says, Dean, I don't know exactly how to say this, but this is a very different kind of household you walked in tonight. He says he knows. And Lorelai says, Rory's my daughter. And Dean, he kind of lightly a little rolls his eyes. And he's like, here comes the talk. So he kind of
He was expecting it.
It's not an eye roll in the true sense of being disgusted, but it's like he looks at the ceiling. Here comes the talk.
He's evidently heard that talk before for somebody.
Or he just knows that a talk.
Maybe his first relationship.
But Lorelai says, how about I talk and you listen? And I thought, oh, okay, yeah. We're really seeing mom Lorelai now.
Yeah.
And this is actually the first time we've really seen the true mom Lorelai, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen her take up for her
kid at
school.
A little bit of that mama bear coming up.
Yeah, but not like this. And she tells him,
mama don't play that.
No. She says, Rory is a smart kid. She's never been much for guys, so the fact that she likes you means a lot. I don't believe she'd waste her time with some loser.
Right.
And Dean says, but you're watching me.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, sweetheart, the whole town is watching.
I love that.
She said, that girl in there is beloved around here. You heard her.
Yeah.
There's not a safe place within 100 miles for you to hide.
All hell's coming
she
with
said,
me.
She said, this is right? it. Yeah. She said, this is a very small, weird place you've moved to. Yeah. And Dean's like, I've noticed. And Lorelai says, just so you know, all eyes are on you.
That city stuff ain't flying around here.
No. Yeah. And Dean said, anything else? Lorelai says, she's not going on your motorcycle. Dean says, I don't have a motorcycle. Lorelai says, she's not going on your motorcycle.
He does have the jacket, though.
And
that threw her off.
Yeah. And Dean says, fine, she won't go on my motorcycle.
That means something else.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's a double meaning there.
So Lorelai says, curfew will be enforced. You will not detract from schoolwork, and you're going to start handling those lemons better.
And you're not going to ruin her life. Yeah.
The lemons.
Yeah, her daughter's the lemons. You're not going to be rough with her, and you're not going to discard her.
And he says, what? And she says, don't interrupt me when I'm speaking. I reserve the right to change, alter, tweak, or add to this list of rules at any given time without any written notice. Am I clear?
As any woman would.
I just really like this because it shows that Lorelai can definitely step outside the friendship circle she has with Rory and lay down the law, the mom law, when she needs to.
Yeah, she gets with it.
So I like that. And Dean says, you're clear. Lorelai says, good. Surprisingly, though, Dean asks if it's his turn to speak.
Yeah, he's like, are you done? Is it my turn? That was a little brazen there.
No.
Confident.
Well, Lorelai definitely looks a little startled that he said it.
Yeah.
But she says, go ahead.
Because most kids his age wouldn't have done that.
Well, and here's the thing, though.
He's a little bit more mature than he looks.
I like the fact that Dean did this.
Yeah.
I actually think it showed guts.
Yeah. He's confident.
Uh-huh.
He's a little bit older, too, so that's why she's concerned.
Yeah. And Dean says, okay, you can lay on all the rules that you want. You can have the whole town spy on me and stare at me and chase me through the streets. Lorelai says, oh, I like the chase you through the streets idea. Uh-huh. Dean says, but I'm not going anywhere. Lorelai says, well, it's going to be a short chase then, isn't it? And Dean says, I need you not to hate me.
Now, that's what I liked about it.
He said, if you hate me, then I don't have a shot in hell with Rory. Lorelai says, Rory has her own mind. Dean says, yeah, but you're her best friend. And what you think means everything to her, and you know that.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, I want to like you because Rory likes you. Dean says, but you don't. And Lorelai says, I want to. And I usually get what I want.
Yeah.
And Dean says, fair enough.
Well, that shows some depth to Dean.
And I really appreciated everything Dean had to say in this scene. He took in what Lorelai had to say. He took it seriously, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, he was assertive but not aggressive, just confident in what he had to say, but he recognized the importance and significance and different manner of Rory's relationship with Lorelai, and recognized the fact that if Lorelai doesn't approve, he won't make it anywhere with her daughter.
Well that could have went in a totally different direction.
Yes, but third and most importantly, he shows Lorelai respect here by being straightforward, open, and honest. Most young guys his age would not be able to speak so deeply to a girl's mom and be sincere and open about it.
Well, that's what...
So I really like
that. Well, that's what I was saying, because he could have went the other direction and said, I'm here, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want.
Right. Now, before anybody pegs me as a Team Dean, I'm going to tell you right now, no, I'm not Team Dean. I'm actually Team somebody else.
Right now?
No, I mean, ever. I was never Team Dean.
Right now?
But I can appreciate Dean in his good moments, and I can appreciate the character that he has.
Well, right now, I don't have a problem with him.
No, I don't either.
So, he's on my nice list, like I said.
Yeah, all right, so at that point, they've set the record straight. Lorelai turns the TV back on, and Dean says she's taking a long time on her face, because that's what Lorelai told him she was doing, is she was walking her face. And Lorelai says, yeah, well, Rory's a perfectionist, you know. So later on here, we are at the front porch, and Rory and Dean are leaning against the railing, and Dean wants her to thank her mom for inviting him, and she apologizes if it was weird that her mom had invited him, and he says, no, it was good. And he gives her a kiss, and then thanks her.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so cute.
You know, Lorelai's plan definitely relaxed her daughter and let her guards down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I do love Dean saying thank you.
I thought that was cute.
That was nice because he gave it back to her. Like, don't be embarrassed by that.
I know. Yeah. I thought that was really sweet.
He's a real upstanding type guy right now. You know?
I will admit, there comes a time when my feelings about him completely change.
Yeah, I think that's due to situations that happened to him.
Yes,
I
do
think
too.
Life changed him that way, like the song says.
Yes.
Don't blame him.
There are a lot of circumstances that occur that make him
trigger him
and cause some changes in him that make him not as desirable or attractive to me.
Oh, it's coming shortly. You'll see.
So when Rory goes back into the house, Lorelai's lying on her bed, and Rory comes in and lies down next to her, and Lorelai says, so that went well. And Rory admits it wasn't bad, and Lorelai does ask if she humiliated her. And Rory says, I don't know. What did you say to him when I went to the bathroom? Lorelai says, that you're really pretty.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, liar.
She did have a down look on her face, though.
Yeah.
Because she's missing something.
But Rory starts to leave, and Lorelai just kind of sighs. Rory asks her, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. But Rory says, yes, there is. Just tell me. And I love how Rory here in this moment expects to be told things.
Yeah.
But it's perfectly fine hiding her own stuff. But I do appreciate the fact that she noticed that her mom was not quite in a great mood and wanted to comfort her. And Lorelai said, nothing. I just really wanted you to tell me about that kiss.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not mad, you know?
Yeah. And Rory says, I'm so sorry. I really wanted to, I swear.
She's just disappointed.
She said, I just got scared, and I know, I'm not mad. I just wanted to hear about it.
Yeah,
that's
the big deal right
she
there.
She said, it's no big deal. Yeah. It's okay. I'm fine. It's one too many caramello bars. I'm sorry.
Too much sweets.
You have school. I have work, so time for bed. So they say goodnight, but then Rory says, Mom, and Lorelai tells her,
Yeah, she still had that mom phase going from earlier.
And Rory says, I know this is lame and totally after the fact, but
and Lorelai
immediately sits up and starts and says, start from the beginning and you leave out anything. Where were you?
Yeah,
I love
how giddy she was. And she puts her hand over her face and she's like, oh, I want details.
And Rory says, okay, I was in the aisle where the air spray is. And Lorelai says, that's a good aisle. Just like Lane had said.
Yeah, you know that girl taught you and your daughter.
Yes. And Rory says, I know that's what Lane said too. But anyway, so he was working and I go into the store and I sort of walked
it
around.
It fades out.
And I was pretending to shop.
Yeah, that's all her mom wanted.
Yes.
That's the friendship part of it.
So it faded out, you know, with her finally telling her the kiss story. Do you want to talk about Scott's podcast
you get
real
into
quick?
That? Yeah.
Yeah, this was a good episode.
I'm all in with Scott Patterson. Yes, it was. Don't sit on any cold benches. Episode 7, part 1 and 2.
He split it into two.
So part 1, he interviewed George Bell. He was the dialogue coach for Gilmore Girls seasons 3 through 7. He also played Professor Bell, court officer, and a Stars Hollow resident from time to time. Yeah, the Paladinos would plug him in so he could keep his insurance.
Right.
He gets into that story, how the insurance works. Lauren Graham had the final approval on him getting the job. She had to give her stamp. Yeah, and he knew somebody that worked with her, so that kind of sealed the deal.
That's interesting. Lauren Graham's word's kind of big around there.
Oh, she's definitely got clout, unlike Ruth Myers. But
reference from a movie called Where the Heart Is.
Yeah, Where the Heart Is. you showed me that one. He is the man that Scott refused to let quit or get fired because he, quoted, is the glue of the show. So he held that whole thing together for those last seasons. Most directors would not trust his opinion. They learn quick because they would suffer the consequences. They wouldn't last long if they didn't listen because he kind of knew the routine and what the actors wanted. You know, so his opinion really mattered. He was very important around there. He's kind of a big deal, you know? He was often the bearer of bad news a lot of the times because Scott was saying how they would have upwards of 30 takes per scene to get the dialogue down, and he was the one that had to come and point out one missed word. He could have got everything else right, but if there was one word missing, they'd have to do the whole scene over.
Yeah.
So he was good and bad, you know? And finally, Scott got George to tell who was great and not so great with dialogue, because he'd go over lines with them, of course, but he didn't want to reveal too much about that, but he finally kept coaxing him. One thing that did stand out, I won't give away too much, but Lauren was he suspected of having a photographic memory because she was that good. Mm. And Scott suspected it was because she was a big reader. Do you think that had something to do with it? Because he was like, if you read books a lot, that just comes natural to
readers
you.
Readers do tend to retain a lot,
yeah,
for sure.
I thought you could relate to that one. All right, so let's get into part 2. So Scott's views on Dean. It kind of paralleled Max Medina a little bit.
He's not a Dean fan.
No. He touted Dean as aggressive, and he doesn't think he's right for Rory. But like any father, who would you think any guy was right for your daughter, you know?
Right, right. But he even kind of made that point. He's speaking like a father.
Yeah, he's like, he's older from the big city. He's too forward with that kiss. The way he responded to Lorelai, can I talk now? Yeah, he was throwing some shade on Dean. He wasn't liking anything he did. As where we were more objective, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was closer to to it because he was there, you know?
Yeah, he kept calling him Max Medina. He was stressed Dean. he was lumping them in together, you know? Making that connection like, they're my enemies. And he showed great disdain for both of them, let's just say that. Scott wanted to protect his people from their manipulative, corrupting ways.
Well, and I did hear him refer to himself as, I'm the dad.
Yeah.
So he realizes that Luke thinks of Rory as, that's my daughter.
Yeah, he's blurring the Scott Luke like we are. I keep calling him Luke. Yeah. It goes hand in hand. They are the same person, basically. You think about it. Their character and him personally are pretty much the same.
And you get to see that more and more as you listen to his podcast, that he reacts very much the way Luke would.
Yeah. Those were the highlights. Now, the pop cultural reference segment, they changed that up, and they were talking about the Mark Wahlberg Boogie Nights. And
how did he feel about the Boogie Nights as a movie option? Oh,
that was just more fuel for the fire for him.
So he agreed with us.
Oh, yeah. That was way inappropriate.
No to the Boogie Nights.
Yes, yeah. No. Triple X, no. Pretty much done with those shows right now. I went over the highlights. Okay. I had to lump two into one, so that was a little bit more difficult.
What was your Loreline?
Oh, my Loreline? I had two, actually. When Lorelai says, wow, it's expensive to slowly rot your insides.
Yes.
And the other was, he kissed you again? What? Is he just out of prison?
Yeah, I loved that one, too. That one was great. My Loreline, I have to give to Dean. And that was where he says, yeah, but you're her best friend, and what you think means everything to her, and you know that. Yeah.
You went deep
and
on it.
I just thought that showed a lot of depth of understanding on his part.
Yeah, I said that.
That I didn't expect, because he hasn't spent much time around either of them. But yet, he spent little snatches of time near enough to Rory, where he's obviously very observant and has picked this up. And from his tone, he seemed to really respect that about them.
I kind of relate to him on that, because he's a little bit more mature for his age. I was kind of like that way at 18. I had a lot more together than most of my friends.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So, what about your Rory? What was your Rory?
When Rory asking for Lorelai's advice on dating, and the end scene when she finally starts to dish on the kiss, when they became more friends.
Yeah.
Those two scenes combined for me.
Okay, so I have a couple of shout outs, second places, so I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can.
All right.
But I have to give a shout out to the Luke and Lorelai grocery store scene. Because to me, it just showed a very interesting dynamic of an unspoken relationship that they've always had over Rory. And second, I love the introduction of Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay, but my true Rory was my absolute favorite scene, had to go to the moment between Dean and Lorelai. I love the openness and sincerity between them. Neither pulled any punches, but there was respect and understanding.
Yeah. That's all Lorelai wants, is somebody to respect her and her daughter.
Yep.
What mother wouldn't want that?
Right. Okay, what was your Emily?
Oh, Lord. It was pretty hard, but I narrowed it down to Lorelai's frustration on getting customer service to A, listen to you, and B, show up at a designated time. We've all been there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was just frustrating to me. It wasn't really Emily moment.
I actually don't have an Emily. In this episode.
Yeah, like I said, it was hard to choose from.
I know it's a cop-out, isn't it?
And I was stretching to pick that one.
I guess I would have to go along with you on that one just from the frustration factor of living it. But then again, I appreciated it because I've lived it. So it's not really an Emily. It's not an unlikable scene.
I'll try to help you out.
I really just don't have one.
I'll try to help you out. My other one was going to be the Taylor pestering Luke. That's a stretch because I love Taylor.
I love that.
I know.
So I couldn't say that either.
Well, it was hard to choose from.
That's why,
like I said.
That's why I just went with, I don't have one in this episode.
I picked that for you. There we go.
But I don't like that. I don't accept that one. Well, I like Taylor.
It has to be. We have to have one. All right. You want to rate it?
You rate it. You go first.
I'm going to give this one a 4 out of 5 hollow stars, simply because it was missing one key ingredient, a Friday night dinner.
Yes.
And I was kind of bummed to find out that Dean didn't have a motorcycle. That's just my thing. And then I also liked that Luke told Lorelai she was an amazing woman in passing, but I need more.
Yes.
So that's the only two things missing for me.
Well, I also would give it a 4 out of 5 hollow stars. So we're on the same page.
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely one I would watch again. I really loved this episode. Oh, yeah. There was a lot going on. We had relationship development between Luke and Lorelai. We had the introduction of Taylor, which I love.
Yeah. And it says something about you can't pick a bad scene.
Right.
So it was hard for you.
It was hard to pick a bad scene.
That speaks well of it.
That speaks very well of the episode. I did also miss Friday Night Dinner.
Of course.
And I wanted a little bit more out of Luke. I don't know. I really really kind of liked it all the way around.
So but we're
it
in agreement.
It wasn't 100% perfect, though, which is why we're going to probably only pass out fives very rarely.
We did the last time.
I know. We didn't give a five on the last one. Nope.
Or the one before.
We have not given a five yet.
We haven't?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. And fives are going to probably be pretty rare.
Yeah, they got to have the trifecta.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be pretty perfect.
Yeah.
It's solid four. It's definitely above average. I'd watch it again. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Me as well.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being with us again for another episode of Ready, Set, Stream. We had a really good time with this one. A lot of really good stuff, and we are excited to look at the next episode. So
prepare yourself.
Prepare yourself for season one, episode 8.
See you then.
And we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye.